realizing, Father, you said, in your presence is fullness of joy, and there's no greater joy than to be in your spirit and to be stimulated by the new wine, by the revelation of your word to our hearts, whispering your love secrets to your people, making them aware of your great predestinated love to them, building up their faith in you that you love them. And it's not about what they can do, but what you have already done. Your great mercies to us who are guilty. Your great grace for us who merit it not. And we stand here, Father, trophies of your grace, testifying of all God who is rich in mercy tonight, this morning. And remembering, Father, where would we be today without you? What would have become of us? What direction we would have been in? What ground would we be standing? What house would we be worshiping in, if not for you, O Lord? But you've called us from the house of Baal to the house of Jehovah. And to come to know thee through thy Son. And come to see you in your Son. And come to honor you in your Son. We are thankful for your prophet. We are thankful for your servants. We ask that you will bless Brother Sernan continuously, Lord. And continue to root him and ground him, establish him, Father. Keep him strong in your right hand and give him faithful men to serve and to help, to stand at their post of duty. Give him a people to pray for him. And, oh God, support him in their tithes, their offering. And as I stand here in this new building, Lord, I'm seeing it for the first time. May you honor them that blessed, Lord, so we can stand here. We thank you for the faithfulness of your believers, giving of their tithing, their offering, their building fund, their help, their strength, their support. We are thankful for them that support the kingdom of God and the ministry of God. May you continually do, O Lord, prosper them and bless them, for they can never outgive you, O Lord. Our giving is just a channel so that you can bless us, Father. And may we use it in such a way, Lord, that we can continue to be a greater blessing to your people. Now, as we stand here, Father, we pray that you'd, Lord, anoint us away from ourselves and anoint your great ministering presence to come and minister to the hearts of your people. Lord, you know what you have ordained for today. We do not know what even a tomorrow or minute lies ahead, but you know, Father, and we trust you that you will anoint your hearers, anoint the speaker, cause us both to be in the channel of inspiration, to be taken up, Lord, that we might see through the eyes of understanding where we are and what we ought to be conditioned, Father, and how to get there. It's my prayer now, Father. Forgive us our flaws and remember us, we are but dust this morning. Get glory from our lives. May you be lifted up through the gospel of your Son and be glorified, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you happy this morning? Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you, to be in fellowship with you. And if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to Romans chapter 12. And are you going to read this, or am I going to read this, or... I guess I can read it. Can you see that on the screen? I can't see the screen. Okay, all right. Oh, okay, good. Yeah, it's such high tech. Oh, wow. Look at the Lord. Good to see Brother Arevalo, and I saw Brother Prospero somewhere. God bless you. And whoever else, God bless you richly. Now, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, that word there means cosmos, but ye are transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the not only the reading and hearing, but also give us an understanding of what we've read. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to say a little bit more about the church, but I'm going to reserve my time just to stay with the message, and then at the end we would see what the Lord would do. Now, I want to speak on a subject from birth to adoption. From birth to adoption. And the reason I want to do that is it gives me an opportunity to find the mind of the Lord, because anywhere between there is it's life, you know, from birth to adoption, you know. All right, so I want to talk about birth to adoption, and for a that's for title, and then also for a subject, I want to speak on preparing to move in a higher dynamics, preparing to move into a higher dynamics. All right. Now, that seems to be a big subject and important subject. So before I go any further, I just want to go straight to my notes. And I believe you could. Can you read that? You can't read that, can you? It's too small. And I don't know in my iPad how to make it bigger. It's Evernote. You might just have to bear with me. You have to trust what I'm reading. That's there. Okay. All right. So now, let me start by making an introduction. The message that we believe, that we call the message of the hour, has a lot of misunderstandings that goes along with it. Because the ministry of Brother Branham was so compound and so complex that when we first started to look at the message, we did not know a lot of main or major keys on how to look at his ministry and how to look at the message. And I'm sure that you have heard the messages or concept of what we call starlight, moonlight, and sunlight. And that Brother Branham had a compound ministry, meaning that he had a church age ministry, which was called starlight, and he said a lot of things on the starlight because he was a church age messenger. And then Brother Branham had what we call a moonlight ministry, which was the moon represents the church. Starlight represents the church in denominational age. But then he had a ministry of Malachi 4, which is to restore the church back to the original pattern that Paul had in the Ephesian church. Not the Ephesian church age, but the Ephesian church. And so that was called his moonlight, and he was to restore the faith that was delivered by St. Paul and established by the apostles. Now, I know you know this, but I want you to just think about this also, that those two ministries cannot perfect the bride. The ministry to turn our heart back to apostolic fathers can only give us the faith that St. Paul had. And St. Paul did not have perfect faith. And St. Paul was not adopted. And St. Paul never spoke the word and created. He never became a manifested son. He was not adopted. So if we look at the ministry of the church age of Brother Branham, we would be focusing on the correction that he was giving to Pentecost, which he said Pentecost was a church of correction. Is that right? And then, so now, if you are in the ministry and you don't know what the bride message is, you will be always correcting as a minister correcting the church or the bride, which will make your church a Pentecostal church or church of the church age. If you are under moonlight, you think moonlight is the bride's message, then that minister under that moonlight will only be talking about Pentecost, about how it was in the early church. In the early church, they did this. In the early church, they did that. The early church, we did this. But if you are under sunlight, which is Son of Man, we are not talking about what the early church did. We are talking about what Jesus, the Son of Man, did. How he walked with God, had a harmony with the Father. God spoke to him. He had communion. He had oneness. And that he was able to reflect the image of God, the character of God. And he was able to walk in such power. That's the message of the bride. The message of the bride is perfect faith that is produced by a perfect interpretation of the word, by a perfect born-again fivefold ministry under the anointing of Son of Man to produce what Jesus was 2,000 years ago. So the message of the hour is not to be like the early church, but to be like him. To be like him. And if the ministers do not understand the message, what the message is not the first six seals. The message is not Brother Branham 1946 to 1963. That's not the message. He had no message there. The prophet said that was the age of preparation, to prepare you to receive the word. Right? And then he said, under the seventh seal, and I heard Brother Joel, he was telling me he preached on Friday, the seventh seal was the shout. Well, that's the bride's message, but it didn't come under the sixth seal. It didn't come from under the fourth seal. It didn't come under the first seal. It came from under the seventh seal. So the bride's message is the seventh seal. And if that is the bride's message, you can't place the bride's message in starlight. You can't place the bride's message in moonlight, because that faith only goes back to the apostolic faith, and that's not a. But you need to go back to the faith of Jesus Christ himself. Perfect faith. That's the Enoch faith. That's the faith where God and man becomes one. That's the faith of the super sign. Not the super sense. All ages was born again and had the super sense, but only this age was the super sign. To prove that there's a group of believers that are going to come back all being super signs. Where God and man becomes one. And that is the ministry of the Son of God himself. So, we have to first, before we can get a people into transformation, to be transformed into the image, because with the image comes power and authority. Let us make man in our image and let them have dominion. Dominion means lordship, to come back into being lords. That's your title. Just like the Son of God was made Lord and Christ, you will be made Lord and Christ because you are kings and priests. And what you operate on a temporal basis under intercession will become a permanent authority that you have and you possess, which we come to know as adoption. So with the image, therefore, the ministry has to focus on the stage of the bride growth now and must be able to find within the message how to produce that image. That image is not produced by holiness. Because if the image is produced by holiness, the foolish virgin is holy. And she never comes into the image. Therefore, the first generation ministers did not understand. They tried to get you to be as holy and to be as perfect with your behavior, believing that is the image. That's the work of man. That's not the work of the gospel. The work of the gospel is the gospel working in you. Not you working to conform to the gospel. The gospel conforming you, changing you from glory unto glory into his very image. Therefore, it starts with a ministry. It starts with the ministry that we are under, that you are under. I'm not talking about the oneness churches. I'm talking about the pastors and elders that are born again. Amen. Under the message of the hour, can't be born again and be a priest of Baal. You cannot be born again and preach Baal's doctrine. You cannot be born again and go to Baal high priests or churches. You are dedicated to Jehovah, and only Him do you serve. So, we have to focus, the ministry has to focus on how to get you or get us into that image. And if it does not come by holiness, what does it come by? Now, I can use a lot of words and then leave it for your imagination. I could say, it comes by the seven thunders, but that's just words. And then you have some people from the minute you say seven thunders, the people say, amen, praise God, and they don't understand a bit of what that means. It comes by the third pole. Still, they don't. See, we have to learn to be honest as ministers, not to use the craftiness of words, but we must be clear and definitive and explain so the people, because what good is it for you to teach or preach if the people does not catch it? If it doesn't empower them, it's in vain. No matter how good it sounds, no matter how anointed it sounds, the real anointing is when you catch an understanding. That's the purpose of the true fivefold ministry. Not to hide behind words. Not to hide behind quotes. But to bring a clear understanding that has an impact on your mind, an impact on your soul, an impact that encourages you to walk forward knowing that this is the right way, this is the right path, that you are doing the right thing. That builds up your confidence. See? So that's my introduction of where I want to go, where we need to go. And to do that, I will do some background because I don't like to jump in. I like to have connection. So I'm going to start with things that you already know, things that Brother Cernan and Brother Boney has already taught you, and then build on that. So I'm going to read for you. In the message, things that are to be. Now, I want you to notice the title of the message. The ought to be condition. The things that are to be is reflected in the things that are now. Because the visible are clear, the invisible are clear evidence. Or the visible are clear evidence of the invisible. Therefore, whatever is ought to be, you can see it now if you've got spiritual eyes to see. He says now, you grew from your birth. You grew from your birth. So birth starts first. Unless you're born again, you're not growing. You say, but I've been in the message for, 25 years. Now, I'm going to say some things you might not like, but then again, I'm not here for the approval. I'm here to help. Now, you can be a preacher in the message for 30 years and not be born again and have not grown a bit, because knowledge does not mean growth. You have what is called residual memory. Residual memory is memory that you can recall of things that you read, things that you heard, things that you said. But that does not mean that it is you. It's a recall. And most gifts of preaching or teaching has to do with recall. That's residual memory. Some people, residual memory is very good. Some people have to read it. Some people, residual memory was good when they were younger, but like myself now, I have to read. I used to be able to. I don't trust that anymore. So it's not in the ability of how much you know. Because you could know that the ocean is salty. And you could know that the ocean is blue. But that doesn't mean you understand how it became salty or how it's blue. You just know. Is that right? So there is the knowledge to know that gives you the ability to identify something. Say, I know water. I know salt. I know, but do you know what salt is made of, how it is formed? Do you? You know to be able to identify with something, but when you understand that thing from its inception to the product and its use and its purpose, then you know. You see? So you could be in the message and repeat all the quotes. Page 5, paragraph 10, 1963, souls in prison. Now the word that God uses for people who know the word from Revelation is called logos. Called logos. And that means that you know the concept of what that word means. There is the knowledge to know an atom. And you will say, what's an atom? The smallest particle. Then you get a physicist and he begins to say, no, an atom consists of proton, neutron, electrons. The outer shell is made up of so many valence electrons. Did you know, or are you now know that there's more to know? So I want you to be, what I'm trying to tell you is, don't focus on how much residual memory you have of reading the message and hearing the prophet. If reading the message and hearing the prophet brings you the knowledge you need to come into adoption, then Brother Sunan and I, we don't have a job. Because you can just read it, you can hear it, get the knowledge of it, and take a rapture. But it is not like that. It is written in a way, spoken in a way, to hide it from the non-elect. And then allow the gifts to bring it out for the elect. And then when that happens at the preaching of the word, when you read something and know the message, and then you say, but I never looked at it that way. I didn't see it that way. Oh, that was there all the time. Now you're being, something is happening. Stimulation is happening. Enlightenment is happening. But you didn't know the message, but did you know it? See? So, even the ministers in the message that are not born again are only accumulating what is called residual knowledge, using residual memory and logic and reasoning. And that's not growing. So, you said, would you tell me what growing is? Let us continue on and we will see. So when you were born and presented into this world, God knew that you were going to be here in this earth, and you grew from birth to adoption, or from birth to maturity. His words is from birth to maturity. You grew from what? Birth to maturity. All right? Anytime you stop growing, you have backslidden. Anytime you stop developing word upon word upon word, you are backslidden or you are spiritually dead. In other words, when a baby is conceived in the womb, it is cell upon cell and it forms and begins to shape the body. Is that right? Well, your birth is not your completion. It's only your beginning. It's only the inception. You have to grow. And if you're not growing into the image, then conception did not take place. Or you had a false conception. The prophet goes on to say, things that seem strange to you in your young womanhood, young boyhood, as children, now seems very real. You couldn't understand it when you was a child. Now you're talking natural and spiritual now. But now, as you become adult, you begin to hear the word. The key word. You come to know. You come to understand. Things that you knew in your life, things you heard in your life, things that you were told in your life, things that you read in your life, things you experienced in your life, you begin to understand. You begin to understand. Your life begins to make sense. Your journey begins to make sense. Why you end up here makes sense. Why you're listening to this man makes sense. But now, see, you begin to understand and find out that everything that was just set right, just right. And you, it really means something to you now. What hearest thou, Elijah? The prophet says, there's a great journey and a great battle ahead for the church. I believe that we have been children long enough. Now we know that the church ages are children. Is that right? That's why she was never called bride. A bride means a woman who is matured in mind and body to enter into a relationship. The church was not ready for marriage. That's why she's never called bride. She's called church, which means the called out and elect. But it's only at the opening of the seals, the prophet said, I no longer call you church. In other words, this is your time now for the bride to come forth because she's supposed to have the mind and the maturity for marriage. And he says here, God's getting to turn his church into manhood now. Notice, manhood, not boyhood, not childhood. See, manhood, manifested sons. And we played and frolicked as children. But now we are going to have to put away childish things. He's quoting Paul, 1 Corinthians 13. And take on manhood, maturity. I believe it was Paul who said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Because he thought as a child. Notice, what makes the difference between a child, a boy, and a man is his way of thinking. His way of thinking. His way of understanding things. Seeing things. Amen. Therefore, character and image cannot be separated from your thinking. From your understanding. Or the kind of mind that you have. Cannot. That's why this is the head age. In the head age, it's the mind age. That's why this is the age of insanity. The age of neurotic behavior. The age of insane institution. And when there are more insane people outside the insane institution than inside. Because there are more naked people outside than there is inside. There's more homosexuals outside the institution than inside the institution. In fact, inside the institution might be more sane. than the outside. Just thinking of how the message is spoken by the prophet, what insanity is. He goes on to say, because he thought as a child, but it's time that we begin to think like men. If you want to be a man, you've got to what? Think like a man. If you want to be adopted, you've got to think like a manifested son. You've got to think like a matured son. In other words, it's all based on the mind that you have. Is your mind the mind of a child? Is your mind the mind of a boy? Is your mind the mind of a man? See? Think like a man and a woman now, for we've got to get down to business. Now, what I want to show you also is that in the ministry of the Son of Man, his ministry itself, that there were junctions in Brother Branham's ministry. Each junction was different from each other. Each junction had a different purpose. And each junction had a specific work to do and to accomplish. Now I want you to remember that. Because between birth and adoption, you have many changes. And you have to be anointed, amen, like with the anointing of a boy. Your parents talk to you like a boy. But if they talk to you as a boy when you're a man, something wrong with the parent or something wrong with you. It means the pastor has to know when he's talking to the child, when he's talking to the boy, when he's talking to the man. If his church is always a boy, then there's something wrong with that relationship, either with the pastor or either with the church. So it's not just coming and saying, I'm going to preach a message. What is that message? Who is it designed for? Children? Boy? Man? A woman? Or a lady? Or a girl? In other words, you cannot take anything in the message, anything from the seven thunders. If you take anything from the seven thunders and preach it, it means that you have to know what that concept is supposed to produce. In other words, I can't be talking to a girlfriend of mine. No, I'm married. I'm just making an example. My wife will kill me if I don't say that. If I'm talking to a young lady, courting her, I can't be talking to her about stocks and bonds and my trading. That will do no good in the relationship. It will not strengthen our relationship. The word has a purpose. A message has a purpose. And someone preaching every sermon must have something that you're gearing the people to. It cannot be like a shotgun. I come up here and anything comes to my mouth, I say. And the more I sweat, the more anointed you think I am. It's not that. You cannot fool this bride. She knows when you got it, and she knows when you're faking it. Isn't that right? She knows whether you should be up here or you shouldn't be up here. In her mind, she knows it. She might not say it. But she knows. And the quicker we can get those who don't belong up here out, is quicker you will grow. Now, so in the stages of the Son of Man, I'm going to talk about, let's talk about the anointing of the prophet first. I want to build a case that you can't just pick up a book and say, well, I'm... Each book has an anointing. Each book has a purpose. Each book is trying to convey something, and each book is contributing to a certain area of your growth. Each. In other words, if I'm preaching to you birth, new birth, there's teaching, there's concept, to bring that about. But no matter how much I preach on the birth and it be true, if you're already born again, it can't do anything for you. Get it? Yeah, but you say, but he's preaching the truth. He can preach the truth and kill you to death with it. Because that's all you're going to do is be around that all the time. Birth, 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 birth. But you have to move from the doctrine that brings birth to the teaching that brings, you know, development, maturity. Alright? So, once again, I'll give you another example. The first four seals expose the Antichrist. Is that right? Where he's hiding. He was hiding in denomination. He was hiding in religion. White horse rider, red horse rider, black horse rider, pale horse rider. Is that right? That exposed the Antichrist, the spirit, the doctrines of Jezebel, the doctrines of Balaam, Dathan, Korah, you know, Nicolaitanism, Balaanism. It's exposed. Now, if I come now and I preach the man of sin, 666, and I go and do a whole big research, you know, his color is from Egypt, his hat is like a fish mouth, Dagon, the god, the fish god. I go and do all of that. I mean, I bring a whole history of symbolism and how the little wrong wafer is from the moon god and the sun god. And you already know he's a man of sin. Can that help you? If I tell you the harlot church started in Babylon, amen, and she was typed as Ceramis, and the woman worship and the mother and child, does that help you? You got to know when the preacher is out of sync and what gospel he's preaching. That's the gospel to call you out. Come out of her, my people. Come out from the man of sin. Come out from his wife, the false church. Come out from my influence. Now you have been called out. You're here. You can't come out anymore. If he's preaching white horse, red horse, black horse, what can that do for you? That's for the foolish bride who still says, because our enemy is not denomination anymore. Our enemy is the twins in the message. Come out of her. Come out of the oneness Baal worship church. That's where your enemy is. Saying we are all one. Love one another. See, let's have fellowship like Baal. We are all one. And Brother Bam said, God never did forgive them. They had seven rams, seven altars, seven sprinkles, just like we have seven seals, seven trumpets, seven. Pentecost don't preach that. Can't help you. I can preach about the harlot church, the prostitute church, the mother. I can preach on 666. That's not going to do an ounce for you. Because our message is not under there. Our message is under that seventh seal. And that's why it's called seven thunders. That's why it is called shout. It gives it these words so the non-elect don't even know whether they're preaching shout or not. Preaching the harlot is not shout. Preaching the man of sin is not shout. Preaching 666 is not shout. Let me put it to you another way. This is short. Really short. I have a way of destroying these things. The way I move. I don't want to do that. First time I preached for Brother Louis, I destroyed his very expensive watch. He never let me forget it. Now, where was I? I'm getting old. Well, what was the last thing I said? It's called these different symbolic words because the ones who don't know the message can think they are in the message by preaching subjects. You see? So the people themselves, they are not taught what the message is, what it focuses on. Somebody could come here and be preaching a man of sin, 666, a white horse rider, the spirit of Judas. And the people are amening. They're not bride. That can anoint her feet. You see? But they think that they are in the message, and they think that preacher is in the message too. So in the message means you've been born again and caught up under the mystery of the seventh seal, and you are only servicing the seventh seal for the bride. Because the prophet said the bride is caught up in the mystery of the feast of the trumpets. Right? Now there are stages. Brother Branham had different anointings. He had the anointing of the church age messenger, which is to do the work of an evangelist, rebuke, you see, and reprove, be instant in season, you see. But he was not a regular evangelist. The regular evangelist points you back to Calvary. It points you back to Calvary. It points you back to the work that he did. But end-time evangelism, through a prophet messenger, points you to the present-day healer. The present-day healer. And if you would believe, if you can get the people to believe him, nothing would come before his prayer. He's not taking you back there. He's telling you that because of that, this made this gift available now. So end-time evangelism focuses on lifting him out of history before you, and you see he is the same. Whereby his regular evangelism takes you back to Calvary. He has different anointings. He had a Moses anointing. Sometimes he would preach like if he was a legalist. The same one who, as a legalist, will say things in the message before 63, he would say, you know, Satan voted against you. God voted for you. Now you have to vote. Well, then salvation is by my choice then. See, what is he doing? Evangelizing, evangelism. Paul told Timothy, you can use the law lawfully. That's what he told Paul, told Timothy. The law can be used lawfully when you go to a funeral. Don't preach grace. Scare them to death. Death, hell, and the grave if you don't repent. You can use it lawfully. And that's what Brother Branham did. He used it lawfully, and he knew how to use it. He was anointed with the Jezebel anointed, with the Elijah anointed, and he tore those churches of women apart. He was anointed in such a way that he will call the people, Ricky and Rickettas. You heard me say this before. And then God will come and say, don't call my children Ricky and Rickettas. There are many, many children in there. And he will say he repented. And then next two services, he come back and calls them Ricky and Rickettas again. Why? That was Elijah. Now this is Joshua. Joshua anointing is repentance. Joshua would establish you, who you are. You are Israel. This is your property. This is your boundary. This is your possession. This is your inheritance. Is that right? So he had many different anointings on him. And it made him preach, behave differently. But in the Son of Man ministry, he had three major anointings. Each one stronger than the other. And the first one, the different stages of the revelation and different stages of the anointing. Remember the different junctions and now, to be honest with you, I'm just developing the message. I don't want to have it disconnected. You see, so what time do you have? Okay, now, so if you're hungry, get up and go eat. If you're thirsty, get up and go drink. And if you have to do anything else, get up and don't do it in here. All right? So that we can get the continuity. If I don't believe it's important, I wouldn't keep you. If in fact, if you believe it's not helping you, You know, with your pastor's permission, I believe that you can step up. But I believe that these thoughts are from the Lord, and it's been beneficial to the people. And I'd like to believe that I have a part with you. Now, remember the different junctions and anointings and turns of the Son of Man ministry. Let's give you the example, the first pull. The first pull, did it anoint the prophet to do a specific work to reveal God in a specific way? Could the first pull do all of the work? Can the first pull reveal all of the Son of Man? Wow. You mean there's a specific anointing with a specific work that will produce a specific result? And if Brother Branham had stopped there and continued with the first pull, it would have never finished the ministry. It would have never completed it. Is that right? Well, I want you to think about us, the ministers. If we don't know when to turn the corner, because we're not building a wall, we're building a building. And if you keep on going the same way we're going, we are not doing any good. See, we've got to be able to turn when the time comes to produce something else in the believer's life. So the first pull was the identification of the omnipotent God. Because here is a God who can heal how many of your diseases? All thy diseases. Is that right? What is a disease? A disease is a sickness that because of corruption in your body. And so when you stand before this man with a corrupt body, he can stop corruption. He was revealing that the one who could change you from corruption to incorruption was present. And the one who can stop corruption on the body is the one who can change the new heavens and earth and stop the corruption. He was revealing, amen, God in a specific way. And yet, when he's revealed, he was getting specific results. But is that all of God? And is that all of the word? And is that all of the revelation of the giver? So we as ministers also need to understand within the message there's different anointing with a different purpose to achieve a different result. And we cannot be preaching birth all the days of your life because you'll never get adoption. And you can't be preaching adoption when the people never came to a birth. Because then it would do them no good. You want to give me an example? Notice the preachers who says, brother, amen, the bride is going to come back in perfection. She's going to come in full authority. She's going to speak the word. She's going to walk and manifest the spoken word. And then at the end of the service, how many would like us to lay hands and pray for you? How many would like to come to the altar? You see, he doesn't understand. He's in two different, he's talking to them like they're bride, coming to adoption for that power and authority. And now he has to go back to the laying of the hands. He is in Babylon. He's confused. But we don't say that because he said he belonged to William Branham. He's a message believer. He's a message preacher. But he's corrupt. He doesn't know it. And the people he's hearing, not knowing it either, they show that they are foolish virgin or they're non-elect. You are a wise virgin for a reason. You are teachable. You have understanding. You're an understanding woman. And you are not easily deceived, or you are impossible for you to be deceived. So the first pull was identifying that there's a man who is present who can stop corruption. He's a master of corruption. He can heal not some of your diseases, but all of your diseases. In John 11:22, the John 12 represents the revelation of the Father and the Son, the resurrection and life. He was revealing that if he can, if he knows every life, call it cancer, call it tuberculosis, but he calls them, he said they were demons. If he knew every name, every life that comes before him, who do you think wrote the book of life? It was him. Who knows the names of every angel? Psalms 104. Him. Who do you think told Brother Branham to put names on the stars? If he named the stars in heaven, don't you know he knows the names of the seven stars on Christ's right hand? He's the one who named those stars, Paul, Irenaeus. William Branham couldn't do that. He didn't know the name of the stars because the stars don't belong to him. God made them. God named them. And God set them forth to come out in their own season. Now, what's the second pull? See, the omnipotent God from Genesis, from John chapter 12 until the supper and the return to Jerusalem. We've taken that period of Son of Man. So the second pull is the identification of the omniscient God, the one who knows all things. If he knows all things, he knows your name, he knows what you did, what you might do, what you are doing, then he is the judge. It means that he is the absolute, because to judge you have to have an absolute, a standard, and he is the standard. Is that right? He is the one who said, judge nothing until the time when the Lord come and shall reveal the hidden things of that. That's him, present tense. The judge. See, now, even though you now know the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, do you have the complete revelation of him? And can the second Paul do what the first Paul did? That's a different quality, a different ability, a different attribute to produce a different effect upon the ministry and upon them that see it and hear it. The third pull has many junctions. There's the opening of the word, the revealing of the word, the manifesting, the speaking of the word, the preaching to the lost. Within that, you saw the character of Jesus Christ fully revealed in William Branham, not just in power, but in glory. When he said, who do you say is this Melchizedek? Not that one that Abraham saw, the one you're seeing now. This one. Who's this Melchizedek? See? And he's the one that brought us identification. Because you cannot identify unless you have something to compare with and compare to. Is that right? So how do you know what it is to be like Jesus? If you don't know how to identify, the Baptists say they are like Jesus. But the Pentecostals say we are more like Jesus. And the Jehovah's Witnesses say, no, we are more. And they all call themselves Christians to be Christ-like. Right? So to be Christ-like is to be a Christian. And the only Christ we know is William Branham. Outside of that, we don't know Christ for our day. So who you want to be like? You can't jump higher than your pastor because he is the wave offering. That's what you're going to come to. You think you can jump higher than the messenger of the age? No, we want to come to be like him. Is that right? Because that's the only identification we have. I'm talking to believers. See, they know. So now that's the ministry. Now let's talk about you and I. We want to talk about you and I and how we make that transition from the different stages and junctions and anointing from birth to adoption. All right? In the church age, the prophet of God says this. And so we come to the last age, the Laodicean age. That is our age. We know it is the last age for the Jews are back in Palestine. All right? What year they went back? Tell me, 1946. The fig tree put forth its bud, what year? 1946. A nation is born in one day. When? 1946. Well, it's really 1948, but the angel declared it 1946 before it happened. Is that right? The fig tree put forth its bud. Israel is in their homeland. What does that mean? Resurrection from the dead. Romans 11. You say, if the casting away of Israel, amen, means the bringing in of the Gentile, what will the bringing in of Israel be? He said, life from the dead. So resurrection was on the earth, and first Paul was proving the man raised you from the dead, stop corruption, was on the earth in the first Paul. Now watch what I want to show you. No matter how they got there, they are there. And there, and this is the harvest time. So right there he said, when you see the picture put forth, but know that summer is. What is summer? Harvest. That's when the sun comes out in its strength. Not the moon, not the star, the sun comes out in its strength. But before there can be a harvest, there's got to be a ripening. So now the prophet is showing us the stages. The prophet is telling us this is not one big wall. Before there can be a harvest. So I'm going to put harvest. There's got to be a what? A ripening. All right. And before there can be a ripening, there's got to be something. Right? So the harvest would mean two things. One, the harvest would mean the body change and the supper. It would be the body change and the supper. There has to be a ripening, a maturing. So the ripening is maturity. If you catch what I'm saying already, there is a doctrine, a teaching, a concept when preached in the right time, in the right sequence, will produce a body change. But it will not produce it before this. Is that right? Then there must be a doctrine, a teaching in the right season when we turn the corner at the right time that will produce a ripening and maturity. Now there's something to come before this now. Hear what he says. In Christ revealed in his own word, the prophet goes on. The thing that's the matter with the message today is not talking about denomination. He's telling you his diagnosis. He's telling you my son of man thought of what needs to be done in the message. The thing that's the matter with the message today is those who obtain it. Is that you? You say, Brother Tony, you know, the true soul has it. The oneness has it. No. I am talking about the elect. I'm talking about the elect, and I'm going to prove that in a minute. Those who obtain it. So I have to prove that you are among those who obtain it. And I have to, by proving that you obtain it, you automatically know who has not obtained it. Right? Because you can't assume, because the oneness believe, assume they are bride. Right now this morning, you say, we are bride, we are the elect. They're walking around saying, thank you, Jesus. Is that right? That is. Then the two souls are saying, we have got it. The Junior Jackson, you know, 7-year tribulation, we've got it. The Coleman, the seven thunder, amen, we got it. They all got it. We are saying we got it too. But you got to be able to prove you got it. And the only way to prove it is the word has to prove it that you are it. Because you can't prove it. The word has to prove it. Right? Hear what it says. Now I want you to listen. This is a very powerful statement. You've got to take it in pieces. Those who obtain it in their heart, must lay in the presence of the Son to get right. So now there are two stages. To get ripened, you need to stay in the presence. Right? God's presence, He hears His word. He watches over His word. Is that right? You can't separate Him from His word. Is that right? And His word comes to prophets. And after it leaves, after the prophet leaves, the word comes to His ministers, His gifts. So this is a true fivefold. Because you cannot stay in the presence without staying in the presence of the Word. And you cannot stay in the presence of the Word if you don't have a minister to represent Christ, the Word. I can't hear you. The minister, your pastor, represents Christ to you. Is that right? He becomes the tree of life. I can't hear you. And the doctrine he's preaching becomes the fruit. It becomes the fruit because he said you'll know them by their fruit. He said that's their teaching. That's their doctrine. You will know. So if his tree, if he is the tree of life representing Christ, the doctrine is carrying life. And if you eat of it, you shall live. Well, I just told you there are other ministers who represent the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they mix the message with their own in human understanding, and that becomes the tree of death. But the same message. Life and death. Right? So the fivefold represents the presence of God. I can't hear you. Where do you come to be washed? In the presence of the Word. The Word washes you. Well, where does that word come to wash you from? Reading the book? Listening to the tape? Now, what's the next one? He's going back. We're going backwards. This one is not good. He said, though, the thing with the message is those that receive it in their heart. See, so you have the heart. Receive it in your heart means those who have been baptized with the Holy Ghost, who have been born again. Because if you're not born again, you could stay in the presence of the Word all your life. It'll do no good because there's no life in you. Take a seed that has not germinated, put it in the light and see if it will grow. Throw water in it. Will it grow? So the seed, the germinated seed in your heart, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's your new birth. You lay in the presence of the fivefold. You'll get ripe and mature. And if you get ripe and mature, the next stage will come to a harvest. Right? Now, each one of these have certain doctrines and teaching and certain anointing that goes with each one of them. If you preach this and eliminate this, you die. Let me say it like this. If you bypass the cow and eat the grass, you still wouldn't get milk. You get it? There's no way for you to do it. You need this. Right? So going from here to here with books and tapes make you a grass eater. See? You'll never get there. Each one of this in sequence is a divine order. He is literally telling us the divine order of how to go from birth to adoption. From birth to harvest. Then he goes on to say, you must lay in the presence of the Son to get ripened. See? You can pick up the message. And then let the Son bake all the greenness out of you. Making matured Christians. See what I mean? Everybody okay? So now, based on those two quotes, I want to read for you what he said in order, in chronological order. The order of events is first, you must have the new birth. Second, then, you must lay in the presence of the Son to be ripened. Is that right? I'm going to prove today that ripening maturity means having the mind of Christ. And having the mind of Christ produces the character of Christ, which is the image. Harvest and adoption and body change. Notice the order from the last two quotes. One, the seed must be in your heart. That's the new birth. Lay in the presence of the Son. That's the fivefold ministry. Ripen, having the mind of Christ, then the character, then the image, then the harvest. Theophany, clothed, then we are gone. Summary, in the seed in the heart is, you've got to turn the corner. If you've got this already, preaching on this will never get you anyway. Once he got you here, then his job is to take you here, not back here. And he cannot take you here and bypass this. Now it might sound good, like the preachers would say, brother, we are manifested son, we're spoken word bride, just speak the word. And they do all of that. And if they bypass the birth, it's just vanity, it's emptiness. Nothing is produced. And they'll go on, they'll do it next week again because they're preaching for amens and they're preaching, hey, but that was a good service. And then you come out and say, what did he talk about? But it felt good. See? Made you feel that you were alive. No. He didn't make you feel alive. He just gave you a little exercise. You got in the rhythm of his heartbeat. You know, your heart has a rhythm. And if I start, like, get up in the morning and start singing a song, just quietly, what's the next person in the room? All of a sudden, they start singing it. You see, you come under his anointing. You come under his rhythm of his heartbeat. Under the seven seal message, there are many different anointings. Listen to the words. Under the seven seal message, there are many different anointings. Many different works, many different anointings, and many stages that must be in the right sequence. Must be in the right sequence. So now for you, break this down into these four sections. When a preacher comes up to preach, just look at the sections of where he's heading. Right? If he takes new birth, he must be born again. But he's talking about this. There's a big, wide disconnect. He's out of sequence. He's not rightly dividing the progress of how the word produces from the beginning of inception to the harvest. So now let's look at the ripening, then ripening, see? Ephesians 1 and 13 comes before Romans 12, 1 to 3. Then comes 2 Peter 1, 4 to 8. Then comes 2 Peter 1, 16 to 17. So this here is Ephesians 1, 13, and 14. This comes first. And this is 1st, 2nd Peter 1 and 4. This section here. Now, you can load this up with verses. So, you can put being born again of the incorruptible seed by the word of God. You can put the engrafted word of life by James. You can use many scriptures, but all of it means the same thing, right? So no matter what I take in scripture, if it fits in this block, it stays in this block. It will produce only what that block's supposed to be. You can't take these scriptures and go to Revelation 10:1. It's a big stretch. See, it doesn't work. We have been used to be undisciplined in the ministry. In the ministry, we feel it's spiritual to take the subject, the verse, and then make the jump and leap anywhere in the Bible You think God works like that? When He says you must rightly divide the word of truth, that you must be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, bring it together. See, we've got to learn. And we have got to teach our, Brother Serna has to teach, and Brother Boni, the young ministry coming up, that they cannot use Scripture just the way they feel to. It must follow the inspired pattern, how the prophet used it. He is the pattern. He is the divine interpreter of the word. We cannot be servants of ourselves. It has to be because it fits in the pattern and the inspiration laid out by this prophet minister. Otherwise, you will not produce a bride. You will not produce adoption. You will not produce the image. You will produce a people who get bored and are dying from day to day. And they are waiting for a rapture. They are waiting for the supernatural. They are waiting for stimulation. And they'll never come. Because God do not go outside of His word pattern. Does not do it. Watch now. So, the birth under the fivefold ministry, whose purpose is to perfect you. Ephesians 4 and 11 is for the perfecting. Is that right? Now, He cannot perfect them that are not born again. If He does, He has just produced impersonation of the bride. Every oneness church, every two-soul church, every soul group, message lodge that is not born again is an impersonation of the bride. They might dress like you, have their long hair. They might talk like you. They might keep conduct, order, and doctrine. But that does not mean they are bride. Remember, I said I was going to prove it to you. And your pastor told me, do it. It's no time. Watch again now. So now, His job is to perfect you. So now you can't teach them that are not born again. You can preach to them. You preach to sinners. You preach to the message churches that are not born again yet. But you teach the born again. All thy children shall be taught of God. He didn't say all thy children be preached to. John 6:44. Isaiah 54:13. Teach. They are teachable. See? They are not bastard born. They are teachable. See? Okay, then the fight. Then it comes to Ephesians 4:11. And from Ephesians 4:11, now you enter to Romans 12:1-2 and Philippians 2:5. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. And this produces 2 Peter 1:4-8, which is this. Notice I haven't mentioned anything about holiness yet. Not one single thing. Because foolish virgin is a virgin. She is holy. But she does not come into the image. So holiness is not the image. I cannot hear you. Holiness is not the image. That's a lie. If holiness means the image of God, then the foolish virgin is in the image of God. It's not. So when you equate character to holiness, you are in error. When you equate righteousness with holiness, you are in error. Because Luther was righteous and he was far from moral holiness. I can't hear you. No. They're not the same words. Because Luther was righteous because his revelation was right. Abel by revelation, the Bible said faith, the prophecy of revelation. Abel by revelation offered unto God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, whereby God testified he was righteousness had to do with this right revelation. If you've got a wrong revelation and live holy, you are still unrighteous. See, you've got to get that out of your mind. If you're not out of your mind, you are going to try to get to that image from your human understanding of what you think God has provided you to get there. Luther was far from holiness. He drank beer, smoked cigars, and used a lot of tough words. That's right. But Luther was holy because his holiness was imputed holiness. And he was righteous because his righteousness was imputed because his revelation was right, God says, because righteousness means a right standing with God. And if you try to have the right standing with God with holiness, you'll never make it. You're back to the law. So, you've got to come to these scriptures, and then you have to submit yourself here, which is Ephesians 4 and 11. And Ephesians 4 and 11 is nothing more. This makes you a child, right? You're a son now, you're a child, you're born, but you're immature. Right? Now, this brings you now to Ephesians 4 and 11, and this is where your key is. Your key is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to respect, reverence the fivefold ministry or your pastor, reverence him in representation of God and Christ. Because when you respect him as a man sent from God, a gift sent from God to you, how you treat that gift determines your attitude towards God. The attitude towards the giver of the gift is your attitude towards God. Then again, so Brother Sermon does not have to be perfect. He just has to be gifted and called of God. Because God is asking you, I did not give you Brother Sermon, I gave you a gift in Brother Sermon. So next time somebody says something, you know what? Say, yeah, that might be true, but I'm there for the gift. As long as he could feed me, as long as he could see and understand that word and take me out, that's what I'm here for. I'm not here for his wife to be perfect. That's between her and her growth and adoption. I'm not here for his children to be perfect. Whether they take a rapture or not, it's not my business, because they're the pastor's children doesn't mean they're guaranteed a rapture. Because election has nothing to do with your natural family. You can't elect your children, God does, or not does. See? That's nothing to do with it. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wow. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And how is a house built? How is a house built? Wisdom. Proverbs 9. Amen. Wisdom had built her house with seven pillars. Wisdom, wisdom. Well, who is the one that's speaking? The man here. What is he imparting? The wisdom of God. Right? You know those scriptures. I did it here before. Right? Proverbs 16:23. Tell me what Proverbs 16:23 says. Brother Joe, you should know that, Brother Boney. 16:23 is what? It goes like this. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. The heart of the wise is God himself, teaches his mouth with his prophet and adds learning to his lips. Malachi 2:7. The priest's lips shall retain knowledge. What is he doing? What is he doing here? He's retained the knowledge from the mouth, which is the prophet, who got it from the heart of the wise God. And if you respect that, then wisdom comes upon you.
Now you say, tell me, what does that mean? It means that he is responsible to make you a wise virgin. But if you don't have a godly priest, called of God, born again, you are going to be a foolish virgin, or you're not going to be a virgin at all. You're going to be a harlot. You get it? You've got to follow the pattern. Any one of these you violate. Any one of these that you don't surrender to. Say, oh, no, no, no. You are not that material. That's how wisdom comes. If you want to be the wise virgin, you better get. He that walk with the wise, I can't hear you, will add wisdom. If you walk with fools, then God considers that you are a fool. So this is important. This stage is important. Now we move into the next stage. Let us first set up the birth. Do you want to know if you're born again? Do you want to be able to tell whether you're seed or not seed? Now, once I say that, the foolish people says, well, you don't know what's in anybody's heart. I say, you might not know because you're foolish. Because the prophet says, every life is known by its characteristics. Every seed is known by what? God is known by his what? Satan is known by his. The spirit of Judas is known by his. The spirit of Jezebel is known by his. Well, then if you cannot tell the characteristics of the true seed, how do you know you're a true seed? Don't let those people, fool you and say, frighten you, say, you all are so proud, you don't know, you don't know who's bride or not bride. Of course we do. If you're like me, you're bride. If you're not like me, you're like you. Don't apologize for being bride. Don't be ashamed of your identification. If you don't have the characteristics, well then repent. Come talk to your pastor. Say, Pastor, I'm concerned about my birth. I'm concerned about my life. But today, I'm going to take each section, give you a beginning, how to start, how to see where you are in those sections, what part of it you are, what part is your minister preaching. Because if we don't turn corners, we are dead. We are stagnated. Then, after you develop the image, the final stage is 2 Peter 1:16 and 17. Okay. All right. Everybody, let me tell you, find out if you know these scriptures. What does Ephesians 1:13 says? After you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What does 2 Peter 1:4 say? You have become partakers of his divine nature. That means born again. Then you come here. After you're born again, what do you need? Well, I need Galatians 4:1-4. A son, even though you're a son, differs nothing from a servant, but is placed under tutors and government until the time appointed. Now, this is also John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father. Well, you can only go to the Father when you are ready to be adopted. Now this is Father time. Is that right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. The way is the cross. The truth is the same. The message is in every age. And the life is the baptism after you believe the word for your day. That's the life. And after that, you come in the age, you come to the Father. You don't go to the Father outside of this section here, this season here. Harvest time. That's why the Father himself came down, not the Son. Who do you say this is Melchizedek? That's the Father. No beginning, no end. Amen. Never had mother, no father. Beginning of life or end of life. King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise patriarch, the source, our source. Get it? No one can go to the Father but by me. Now, I want you to watch the me's. No one can go to the Father but by me. The me is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the me is represented 7 times by 7 stars. Luther, the people of Luther, cannot go to the Father without Christ. And Luther was Christ for that day. He that received whom I send, received me. And he that received me, received him that sent me. Therefore, amen, no one could go to the Father but me. So, me, Luther was me. Wesley was me. See, then you end up with Son of Man was me. Okay, now watch again. So we've got these scriptures, these areas. First, you got to see Galatians 4, 1-4. You're placed under tutors because you defer nothing as a servant. You're placed on, if you don't respect them, have the fear of the Lord, you'll never get anything from them. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom had built a house. So this is a part of the house of God being built by wisdom. Because you have the fear of the Lord. Because you are in the right order, you will come to the right finish. Must be able to follow the process. If your life is not in this pattern, if your ministry is not in this pattern, if you have made everything one and preached this here and this here and this here and that here, you're in Babylon, even though you're in the same message. The people just want to come to church and hear a message. They're not thinking that there are certain areas that must be worked on, and you have to come to that area, graduate in that class, before you go to the next class. And the teacher don't have a curriculum. So the pastors out there just preaching anything they feel like. You know, I hear Eddie Biscoe preach on this. I think I'm going to listen to that tape and then I'm going to go preach it. You know, I heard Royal preach on that. Nonesta's talking about this. And they just sound good. And so they want to bring it to their people. See? It doesn't work like that. There's a divine order and there's a divine pattern to get the divine results. Right? Each part of there is what the prophet would call part of the music sheet. The music sheet playing here will produce this. Then it changes an octave, you produce this. It produced this, it produced that. Now let's work on this. Are you the elect of God? Are you the born again church? Let's prove that. You say you could say anything you want. So does the two souls, so does the oneness in the message. All of them say the same thing. But let the word identify you. All right? First of all, first you must be born again. And then when you're born again, you have faith. Okay? So now, born again equals faith. So if you are not born again in the message, you do not have faith. I want to ask you, do you think two souls could be born again? You believe polygamy can be born again? But look, they dress like you. They come to church 20 minutes before. They have conduct, order, and doctrine. They've got everything like you. And you mean they're not born again? They quote the prophet. You mean they're not born again? What about the oneness who believe that he's one like your finger? That he's his own father? You think you could be worshipping a Baal god and be born again?
But you say they have faith. Look how many people, the world go after them. The world welcomes them. And you are the oddball and you're upset. But being oddball means you're in the message. Nobody's ashamed of them, but they're ashamed of you. Ah, there are so much more of them. You're just one in a million. Look at this church. This is from your own monies, your own believers among you, your own labors. You have this place. You didn't have no money come from America and from Germany and from Europe. Your pastor has no obligation to anybody up there. His hands is not anybody's pocket. He's not obligated to any of them. But you watch the guys. Where are their hands? You've got to be thankful what you see. If you're seeing with this, comparing with that, it looks bad. But if you see with this, compare that, oh, it's all different. It's all different. Amen. Hear what the prophet says. You believe the word. Until you're born again, you'll argue against it. Huh? They don't have faith and they argue. Against what? The truth. We'll come to that. I just want to write them down so we don't fall. We take exactly what he said. You're just religiously inclined. You got a little human knowledge that you should do right. You'll never be able to agree upon the word of God. You'll never do it. You've got to be born again, and born again, it produces faith. And then, all right, then after you get faith, this here, faith, then you're just in position to grow. So, unless you're born again, you cannot come to this. You cannot grow. Now, I'm going to say something for the people. So, hold your horses. Just a little bit. I'm going to jump on the ministers for a little bit, myself included. If you're not born again, there's only two reasons. One is your pastor is not born again. Because life comes through the body. It means he's not born again. And if he's not born again, you'll never be born again. But if he's born again and you are not born again, you have to ask, the problem is not him. The problem is you. See? The problem is you. So you see, you have to make sure that you, your pastor is born again. You got to make sure. You know, look, let me tell you this. You know, the ones who say, but he's a nice man. He's a kind man. He's a sweet man. He's a gentleman. He doesn't know a whole deep things. He don't know all those deep things. But he's a good man. That's the kind of man I want to operate in my heart. A nice man, a gentleman, a kind man. He doesn't know much about the heart. But let him go and operate. That's the kind of man you want to operate on you? Then he might not be a wise man in heart, but he's a good man. You know, might not know much about cardiology, but you talk about a good man. See? Now, I would say he's a good man and you're a foolish person for choosing a foolish person like that to be your shepherd. Now, second thing. Don't come with the idea, Brother Tony, but I want you to know I study this message and I only take what the message says. So what my pastor says something and he doesn't in the message, I don't take it. You are still blessed for him to keep you in the church. My church, you're gone. Because you come to shepherd the shepherd. You come to shepherd the shepherd. The only thing you haven't asked for is half your tithing back. Because you're doing half the job and he's doing half the job. No. He answers for you. He watches over your soul. And you're either going to
accept him 100%, but if you accept him 90% and 10% you keep for yourself to watch for yourself, then it's never going to work. He must answer for you 100%. And if you can't do that, for me, in my place, you find a place to go. Brother Sterling, he's a nice guy. He can probably say, oh, don't worry about it. Because what's the danger? The danger is this. Is that this ministry represents Christ. If you say, Brother Tony, but I'm not going to let anybody deceive me, you're already deceived. Because you will never trust anybody. And therefore you cannot trust in a fivefold. You cannot trust in the gift God gave you. He said, but what if he deceives me? It's your fault. It's you who choose him. So if you choose somebody, make sure you choose that you can put 100% to follow him. Or don't choose at all. You say, well, on what criteria must I choose? Because if you, but Brother Tony, he could deceive me. It's you are the one come here. He didn't drag you here. You're the one who pay your tithing. He didn't say, you must pay your tithing. So you have to make that choice. You have to make that choice. And your heart is going to go to a place that has an affinity. If you're a foolish virgin, you want a foolish virgin pastor. If you're a twin, you'll always rotate to a twin pastor. Okay. Because birds of a feather flock together. Amen? And if you are a wise virgin, you want a wise shepherd. Who you choose as a husband reveals your kind of woman in your heart. And the kind of woman that a man chooses reveals what's in his heart. See? That's what it is. Okay, we haven't got to the message yet. We're just still building up, right? Give me 15 minutes. We build up. So, one, the seed must be in the heart. Lay in the presence of the fivefold. See, note, then it gets ripened, then the harvest. Notice the order from the last two quotes. All right? Firstly, this is the sequence of events. Firstly, a child is born. That's the new birth. When that happens, certain things happen right away. One, you change of family. You have a change of family, and now you're born into the royal family by one spirit or one source. Automatically. Are you okay? You have a change of nature. So the new birth brings that right away. You have a change of nature, you have a change of family. See, and the seed must be quickened in your heart by the light of the doctrine of Christ. All right? So now, let me stop here for a minute. Go here. And I guess you don't have control to put your scriptures up, do you? You don't have a toggle. You don't have a switch to... I'm going to have to do all the hard work. Okay, let's look at it. Second John. Sorry, that's wrong. You're looking at Second John 1 and 9. Now watch carefully. Watch the ethos. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Right? We know when you are born again, you have God. Because you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? So for you to be born again, you cannot be born again without the criteria of the doctrine of Christ. I told you some of these things you know already, but I don't want to jump the gun.
I want to have the continuity so that you can see. He that abide, that means continue in the doctrine of Christ, he had both father and son. Right? Now, how do you get the doctrine of Christ? Well, you can't get it outside of somebody telling you about it. Right? So if you have the doctrine of Christ, you heard it. You heard it. Right? And when you hear it, hearing produces faith. Right? So now, you can't hear it without somebody. So you have to have a member of the body so life could come through the body and give you birth. And that person that comes to you must come to you bearing the doctrine of Christ. So let me read it for you. All right? Now, if there come any unto you, any preacher, talking about preacher or people coming to testify, and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. Receive him not in your house. Well, you're talking about your house, we're talking about the church. Neither bid him Godspeed. Wait a minute. You mean I'm not supposed to wish him farewell? I'm not supposed to say, God bless you, brother? No, I'm not supposed to. For he that bid him Godspeed is partaker of his what? How can not come in with the doctrine of Christ be an evil deed? He's coming with something instead of the doctrine of Christ. He's coming with something else. And if he comes with something else, then he's coming to plant the wrong seed. Right? Now you know the quotes. You know that life comes through the body. But the life cannot come outside of the word. It cannot come outside the doctrine of Christ. So let us prove that quickly. I know you know it, but I don't want to leave any areas unturned. Brother Bam preaching on the revelation of Jesus Christ here, chapter 5. He said, now, and to my friends all over the different parts of the world that he heard this magnetic tape, in here I might say that I have to express doctrines and so forth to make this. And any man that has not a doctrine has not a what? Now, I want to ask you, was Luther a man? Was Luther a man? He was a man. So if he's a man, he must have a what? A ministry. He must have a doctrine. Right? Now my point is, who is Luther? Whose ministry does Luther have? The Bible said that we have one ministry. That's the ministry of Christ. Is that right? There's only one. I don't have a ministry. I represent the ministry of Christ. For the work of the ministry, singular. So he has the ministry of Christ. And then what Luther teaches, if he has the ministry of Christ, becomes what? The doctrine of Christ. And who is Luther? He is Christ for his day. He that receive whom I send, receive me. That makes sense? Alright, so now, what? Now we're just backgrounding here a little bit. Now, what was Luther's doctrine of Christ? Justification. So if you had somebody come in with the doctrine of justification, it's because they understood it. They're coming to testify to you of that doctrine, and that doctrine in that day can give you life. If you understand the whole Bible, but you did not understand justification, you were not born again. So you must, the qualification of birth is you must understand the doctrine of Christ. If you can't,
Now, if it was Wesley Day, what must you understand? So the doctrine of Christ was sanctification. Notice, every age has a principal theme. What was Pentecost doctrine? The restoration and belief in the blessings and the gifts. Is that right? Now, what is the bride doctrine of Christ? What is the doctrine of Christ for the bride that she must have to take a boot, not an adoption, and boot? What? Godhead. Amen. Who do you say this is? The mighty God unveiled. Who's this Melchizedek? Unrecognized presence of God. Christ revealed in his own word. Is that right? It is the mystery of Godhead. Father and Son. If they don't have this doctrine, they don't have life. I can't hear you. If you didn't have justification or understanding, did you have life? You could not. So people say, I believed all of the message. Believing is not the evidence. Oh, bear with me just a little bit. Notice, every man who has a ministry must have a what? Doctrine. Was Luther a man of God? Did he have the ministry of Christ? Did he have a doctrine of Christ? Was it justification by faith? Well, then, if you were born again in Luther Day, if you had the doctrine of Christ, you had God. If you did not have it, you had not God. Watch again now. I read the verse again. Whosoever transgresseth it. Now, I don't have my folio of views to open up the word transgress it, but that's a very misleading word in the English. In the Greek, it means anyone who go around the doctrine of Christ, anyone who does not touch it, anyone who bypass it. So you have people who are preaching, they're preaching seven seals, Malachi 4, Revelation 10:7, seven thunders, third pull, but they never touch Godhead. Amen. They are transgressing because only that can give the bride life. Only that can give a life, and when the life is quickened, then she begins to understand the other messages. Can you imagine in Luther Day, the minister sidestepping justification, not preaching it, not touching it, going around it? They're transgressing. And God is saying, if any man come to you without this doctrine, they come with anything else but not this, don't have them preach in your house. Don't even say God bless. I can't hear you. I know some of you saying, oh, Brother Tony, I feel so bad for Nestor. I feel so bad for Roy. Don't feel bad for them. Feel bad for the people they are deceiving. Feel bad for the ones who are blinded and believe they'll take a rapture and will never make it because they're not even on square one. Deceived and don't even know it. You understand? Lord, the doctrine of Christ is our commandment. The doctrine of the season. The fruit of the tree of eternal life. For Luther, it was justification. Let me read, before I go back to that note, let me read this for you. Because I don't want to just do a halfway job with it. I'll just ask you some of these questions. Is seeing the message the same as understanding the message? Is believing the message the same as understanding the message? Is the message the revelation of God, or is the revelation of God hidden in the message? Now watch. Let's see if we are bride. There is no judgment
The word there means condemnation. There's no condemnation to the royal spiritual predestinated seed of Abraham. They are predestinated to eternal life. They have accepted God's provided sacrifice, and that sacrifice, which was Christ, the Word. There is no, therefore, no condemnation, Romans 8:1. If there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, that walk not after the flesh, which means the human understanding of the message, but by the Spirit revealing the Word. See, now watch the prophet here. I want you to watch this. He that heareth my word, the prophet interprets. He's interpreting the scripture. He that heareth my word, the word there is to understand. He that understandeth, any drunk, anything else can hear it and walk away. But he that heareth my word, understandeth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, had everlasting life, and shall not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Now I want you to notice that verse. That verse can only be fulfilled in our day. He that understandeth my word and believeth on him that sent me. The oneness don't believe that. They believe he that heareth my word is the one that also sent myself. I can't hear you. The prophet interpreting it. Now I want to know, if you are not bride, if you can't pass this first section of being birthed, why am I going over here? You've got to know that you've passed this section. You've got to know with a shadow of doubt that you are elect, and you've got to know why you're elect. And you can point to the word and say, this is why I'm elect, and this is why I know you're non-elect. If you don't have that confidence, you're not ready to go here. The prophet interprets again. This is his word. Yes, sir. He that this great mystery of God made known. What's the great mystery of God? Understand how that God was in Christ, reconciling the world. How he and the Father were one. How that the great mystery of the fulfilling of God, taking and bringing himself, manifested in the age of human beings, in the stream, that means in the species of life, in a stream, a genetic line, and in the company of human beings. To make the word manifest in the day, in the eastern rising of the sun, to do the same thing as the sun sets in the west. To make himself manifest in a bride church, the word made flesh. See, it will be too. He that understandeth, that is to know that's been revealed to him, of him that sent me, has everlasting life, and will not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He's telling you, he that has the revelation of the Father and the Son, my words and him that sent me. It's today a revelation of William Branham's word and the one that sent him. Father and Son. If you don't have that today, there is no life. There is no birth. Here again. So Cain, the prostitute Eve's son, very religious, built altars, offered sacrifice, paid tithe, had done everything that other religious men would do. But he failed to keep that word. Now listen carefully. He failed to have the revelation. And the revelation is the only thing, the revelation of the word. What is a revelation? Upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Faith is a revelation because faith has been revealed to you. Abel by faith offered, by revelation offered unto God. He's interpreting the word again now. He that heareth, the real true interpretation of John 5:24 there. He that understandeth, that receiveth my word. So here the word receive my word means to understand. Now watch, I want to show you. He that believeth, you cannot believe until first you understand. So now we have three things. When people say, I believe. If you believe without a revelation, you are unbeliever still. Here's the prophet interpreting again. Watch his language. He's interpreting John 5:24. Now you've got to see, if this is you, fine. If this is not you, that places you out of this category. Hear what he says. The prophet is interpreting.
He that received my word and believed on him that sent me had everlasting life. I will not come into the judgment. So Revelation 10:17 says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The prophet just told me hearing means to understand. So here I could read it like this. I could say, so then, faith cometh by understanding, and by understanding the word of God. What word of God? The doctrine of Christ for your day. And he said, unless you're born again, you don't have faith. Again, let's read it. This is his words, right? Sirs, what time is it? The mystery. Here's the mystery. The mystery is scripture. It is a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, which is a supernatural element, still remains despite the revelation. So hearing means understanding. Seeing means understanding. Receiving means understanding. Anytime you read your Bible, say receive, it means understanding. Hearing, understanding. And believing means understanding. So then, faith cometh by understanding. And understanding by the word of God, which is the message of the hour or the doctrine of Christ. Right? Okay, let's identify you. Rapture message. How now? You can now, it's a revelation, the whole thing. He said, I cannot accept revelation. I said, how can you accept Christ? He said, I must say, he that believeth, it's in life. I said, that's true, but it also says, no man can call Jesus Christ only by the revelation of the Holy Ghost that reveals it to him. How can you call Jesus Christ? Which Christ? Is he the anointing or is he the anointed? Which Christ? Is he the one who was made Christ or is it the one who was Christ in the beginning, the anointing that was on Moses, the anointing that was on David? Is he Christ revealed for all ages or he was just Christ the Son revealed in his day? You can't call him Christ unless you know Father and Son. You can never do it. When it says Christ revealed in his own words, which Christ? Moses was Christ. David was Christ. Jesus was Christ. But the one who brought the word is God. The Holy Ghost coming on those prophets. God in sundry times in diverse manners speak the word unto the Father. Speak the doctrine. These last days spoke to us in his Son. Luther was his Son. Wesley was his Son. Speaking of doctrine. Now, let's identify you. You want to be identified? Are you sure? If the Holy Spirit coming down to quicken, make alive those people, that's for them going to be in the rapture. Notice, if he is a true eagle, he will understand the message of the hour if he's a true eagle. The prophet quotes, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life and will not come into the judgment. Amen? Are you a true eagle? Okay, this is rising of the sun now. But when it strikes the eagle, he moves out. Amen. The dynamics with the mechanics. See what I mean? That is, if he is a true eagle now, he will understand. Are you a true eagle? That's what my sheep hear my voice means. Now, I've got a couple notes here. I can't read everything. Now watch carefully. The only way that you will know him, the only way that you'll get the threefold revelation of God is for the Holy Ghost. And the only way he can ever be is that you be predestinated to see it. If it don't, you'll never see it. If you're not predestined to see it, you'll never see it. If you don't see Godhead, you will never ordain to see it. But if you see it, it's your election. You're an eagle. When the very God himself manifested himself and proved it, but it ain't upon your eyes to see it, you won't see it. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. What is the new birth today? Not in Wesley day. What's the new birth for your day? Hear what he says. The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. What's the great mystery? The greatest revelation in the Bible, the prophet said, the capstone revelation. Amen? And why are they fighting you? By the lack of this revelation is why you have so many divisions among us and such mockery. So much division, and because the people lack that revelation. See, who lacked it? The revelation, that revelation. They lacked that revelation, the teachers. Paul, after his great revelation of Christ. What was Paul's revelation of Christ? That the Son inherited the Father's name. And they both were called Jesus. That's his great revelation. That Jehovah of your world took Jesus up in you. Notice, God making himself known that we are not supposed to make converts to Christianity by government, but by the revelation. The Christ in you as God was in Christ. All right. Okay, let's leave that there. Oh, let's read this one. Trying to do God a service. My aim is for you to make sure that you are this. Before we can go there. Right? And what time is it? Is it 12? Huh? Yeah, you know why you're saying that? Because you started late. And you took an hour from me. Yeah. Because everything I said here, you know already, see? Everything I said here, you already know that. Let's repeat to you, see? But if I don't connect how important it is and how to check it, how to test it, then when I go over here, if you've got question here, it will not give you the confidence. You see? Now, he reveals these things by his foreknowledge to those who he had ordained to those things. Otherwise, they don't see it. See? Standing right there, looking right at it, and he can't see it. They're looking right in the book. And they pick up the book. Jesus keeps all his appointments. They think it's the Son of God. Who is God keeping the appointment? When he himself didn't even know when he's coming back. How can he keep an appointment when he doesn't even know when he's coming back? Can't do it. Is that right? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has a beginning. Huh? Which Jesus has no beginning? See, they are already in sin. They are looking at it, but they can't see it. They are staring at it. They can't see it. They are hearing it on the tape. They can't understand it. The prophet goes on to quote, how many ever seen the picture of a cow in the bush? And you just have to look and look. Did you ever see that? Oh, see the picture of Christ in a bush or in the sky or cloud? See, the painter has got that so fixed up until you have to look at it just a certain way. And then when you once see it, you can't see nothing else but that. Every time you look, there it is. How many see in those pictures? Well, that's the way Christ is. That's where Christ is himself, the gospel. The message is, when you once see the message of the hour, there's nothing else you can see but that. That's all. Everything else that's gone to rest is just a filler. See, when you once see the message. Amen? Then he goes to talk about the Huffman head. Okay? All right. It doesn't have the things that I want in there, but I can't do anything about it. So, stage one. Okay, I'm down here somewhere. Okay, I'm here on number one. Okay, now, so your birth. Let's talk about your birth and get it out of the way. For you to be born again, you must hear the word of truth, right? So now, Ephesians 1:13 is saying, after you hear, which means after you understand the word of truth. Now, what is the word of truth? It says the gospel of your salvation. Well, what was Luther's gospel of his salvation? Just doctrine of Christ. What was Wesley's gospel of salvation? Doctrine of Christ. So, he that understanded the gospel of your salvation, which is the doctrine of Christ. Now, if Luther doctrine was preached today, can it give me birth? Can Wesley doctrine preach today give me birth? But it gives them birth in their day. Is that right? Therefore, the only thing that can give you birth is the doctrine of Christ, which is the principal theme of the age. Justification, principal theme. Sanctification, principal theme. Gifts and blessings, principal theme. And what is our day? The revelation of God and Christ. The principal theme is Godhead. All right? Okay. Now, everybody understand that? Four things that must go through. Or five. Let's read them again. Okay, so now that you're... So the first thing is that you belong... Once your birth, your nature changes, your family changes. Is that right? And you're quickened by the doctrine of Christ. Now, can your faith come without hearing? Can you read the message and get a new birth? Can you study the tapes and get a new birth? Can you listen to the tape and be born again? Oh, but that's what first generation in the message teaches. So anytime you ask a pastor, Pastor, how did you get the Holy Ghost? Well, I was listening to a tape and I got quickened. Say, well, Pastor, you're lying. The word don't teach us. The word teaches that life comes through the body. And that Philip had to go to Eunuch to get life. Peter had to go to Cornelius to get life. Paul had to go to Ananias to get life. And you can't get life unless somebody had life. Now, if you want to know if you were born again when you were in a message, how many come from another message church? Don't be ashamed. If you come from Nestor, Ruel, Daniel, one of them, don't be ashamed. Acknowledge. But I know you thought you were born again there. That's a lie. You can't be born again there and come and be born again here. That would be foolish. You couldn't be born again under them because how do you know they couldn't give you birth? Do they have the doctrine of Christ? No. Well, then they don't have life. And that's why Philippine is in the condition that it is. They were trusting in these men, thinking that they have life. They are the fathers of the country. Yeah, they are not the fathers sent by God. No. They are the fathers of the economic wealth for the message preachers. They give them the key for economic wealth. Your God of the Philippines is not the real God. It's the God of America and Europe. That's why they can give us the money. That's what they taught you. That's what they did. Sounds funny, but it's the truth. So, can you tell who gave you birth? And the man who gave you birth, does he have the doctrine of Christ? Does he have an understanding? Well, then you could never have gotten it. And that's how you test your first birth, the doctrine of Christ, the member of the body. And the prophet said, life comes through the body and it can't come through outside the doctrine of Christ. Because he that had the doctrine of Christ had life. And he had not the doctrine of Christ, had not life. What is it called? Ephesians 1:13. After you hear or understand the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation or the doctrine of Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Second, if you're a child, then you're placed under tutors and governors. You think God will take a born-again child who knows the doctrine of Christ and go and sit in a oneness church? You think he'll go? Let me tell you this way. If you believe Jesus, the Son of God, is Almighty God, like your finger is, then you believe that he has a beginning. Then you believe in creation. And if you believe in a God of creation, you believe in Baal, is nature worship. It's creation worship. Our church's book program says that. So they were Baal worshippers. If you were in those churches, you were Baal worshippers. But you didn't know it. Israel didn't even know it. Because the word Baal, listen carefully, means Lord. So when they're saying, Lord, 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 we are saying, Lord, Lord, Lord. That's why they don't know, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand. They don't know that because they only have one Lord. We have our Lord, who is Jehovah, said unto my Lord, who is the Son of God, who is the husband of the church, and a husband is Lord of his wife, but he is not God. See? So, second, the child is tutored and taught, knows the hope of his calling. Watch very carefully. Now, in this section here, after you're placed in tutors and governor, the one thing you have to know is the hope of his calling. If you don't know that, this is Ephesians here, Ephesians 1, 17 and 19. It says that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What did he call you for, Brother Sunan? What did he call you for, Sister Melba? You see, every single one of you, your calling is different. You're unique. Your calling is different. Now, I want to just give you an example of how people think. They think in a message, group thinking. Revelation thinking is not group thinking. Because revelation is not given to a group, it's given to individuals in the group. Watch carefully. How many wants to be like Jesus? You know, I'm coming with something like crazy, right? Listen, what do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to be like a prophet? Because he was a prophet. Do you want to be Messiah like him? Do you want to be that only unique son that was virgin born? Or do you want to, what do you want to be like him? No, the hope of God's calling for Christ, no one has that. Only he can play that role. You understand? You all, each one of us, have to find our own hope of God's calling for us. Because Jesus did the things he did because he knew who he was. And for you to be a manifested son, you have to know who you are and what is the hope of his calling in your life. Then you'll be sure to act and how you're acting. Whatever is in your way, you have authority to speak in that. Because you're right in the duty of God. See? So then, you move into, from the change of nature, the ministry is taking you to a change of mind. Your mind, your thinking begins to be changed or transformed. All right? So, I'm guess this is just a high point of the sections that you must go through. So now, the teaching to change your mind and the hope of your calling, if I preach that to you, 100 days in a row, it cannot give you birth. Right? Now watch carefully. This is what the elders in our apostolic order have to be cautious of. You have to be cautious. I can't tell you when to turn because I am not personally responsible for your people. I'm only responsible for the elder. But I'm not responsible for you directly. So it is his position. I can't tell him to turn. I can only present to him the turn. When he turns. And how long he takes to turn. All of that is not in my hand. But it's my job to make sure that he doesn't continue building a wall. Okay? So now, let me tell you this. You have been hearing Godhead for 15 years, Brother Sunan. Because I've been here maybe 18 years. Is that right? You've been hearing Godhead. We have been rejected, kicked out, locked out. You name it, these brothers here have done it, right? Okay, now, you have gone through a time saying, can we be the only one right and all of them wrong? Isn't that right? You have gone through thinking things like, you mean, cool. Is anybody else who believes like us? Do we have fellowship? And then you get lonely. I remember, I think the last time I said, if you get lonely, I said, get yourself a dog. Because a dog, you have a better chance being friends with a dog than if you have friends with the Baal worshippers. You see? You see, Brother Branham's dog was over there, but the twins will never be over there. But this dog was there. Get yourself a dog. There's more hope in a dog fellowship. You know? But I say all of that to say this. All right. Now this is your turn. Now, no matter how much time Brother Sternan or myself or Brother Boney preaches Godhead to you, it can do no more good for you. You're already converted. And when you're converted, the evidence that you were converted was this. You have father, and you have son. His name is Jesus. Of the old, he inherited his name Jesus. Is that right? He is Jehovah, Lord. He has been made Lord. He is the anointing that was on Moses and all the prophets. He is the anointed one from the Jordan. He's made Christ. Right? He is the Lord that descends from heaven, not him. He is the Christ that revealed in his own word, not him. Is that right? He is God, the Word, the Holy Spirit. He is the manifested God, the revealed God, right? The revealed Word, the express Word, but he's not the Word himself. Is that right? Now, this is the one that was in him to be Son of Man 2,000 years ago, Alpha. He is the one in William Branham today, that Son of Man Omega. He knows the secret of the heart. He knows nothing. He can do all things. He can't do all things. He knows all things. He doesn't know all things. Is that right? So Son of Man is this God in human flesh, not him. He met Abraham. He did not. Is that right? So once Godhead broke, you know these things. So preaching Godhead to you has already done its job. So Godhead cannot transform your thinking. It has to have something else that you move into. Certain doctrine, certain concepts that is going to not change your nature, but change your thinking. Change your mind. Give you the mind of Christ. Because the change of nature is not the change of mind. See? So if a man just continues preaching Godhead, 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 it means either the apostle he is under is blind, spiritually dead, and is in the wilderness over and over and over. Or if there is no apostolic order, then that pastor had just an intellectual understanding that he got from someone, and he cannot go on. Do you care? Because every junction has a different anointing and anoints different scriptures to produce different results. So this, if I preach Godhead for you today from a different angle, I didn't do anything from you. You just believe more what you believe, but you can't get more power with it. It can't change your nature any more than it's changed.
Produces Savvy.
Wow. Amen. Wow, Brother Sunan, they treat you good in this place. Amen. Okay, now thirdly, so the first was change of nature, change of family. All right. Second, 2,000 governors, they bring you to the change of mind, and that brings you into maturity and ripening of maturity that changes your attitude towards people, things, and situation. Okay? Now, thirdly, add in the new nature with the new mind. When you add that, the two together now, which is the new nature and the change of thinking, produces the change of character and the change of image. See, now you have to have this separate, and then you have to have this separate. But the third stage is when you add these two together, you start to find this. So you can't preach on this if you have not come through these two. It will do the people no good. It'll do you no good. Let me tell you this. Telling you what you should be and not telling you how to become that is no good to you. You know, some people say, you've got to die, brother, for Christ's sake. You've got to die. But please, pastor, tell me, how do I die? How do I die? Should I take poison? I do. There's only two ways you can die. You can go to the Baal Church of Oneness. You're sure to die. That's all wrong. Right? Or, to die means to give up I want, I like, I think, I feel, and I know. That's to die. It's what he wants, what he thinks, what he feels. See, what he knows. It's not what I know. Therefore, to give up self, to put self last and put him first, is to die. But no matter how much you tell people you've got to die, if you don't tell them how to die, it's no good. See, now, third. So, the third stage, which is this stage here now, to get there, you have to add the new nature with the change of transformation of the mind. That now will produce your character. That will bring you into the image, and that will result in an Enoch attitude and an Enoch walk in Satan's Eden. See, the bride is displayed and manifested in this third section here. Fourthly, is the change of atoms. So you have, listen carefully, you have the change of nature. So this is how God's power operates in His Word. There's a power in a certain section of the Word that changes your nature. There's a power in a certain section of the Word that changes your thinking. There's a power in a certain section of the Word that changes your character. And then there's a power in the Word that changes your atoms. Then, when all of that comes together, He changes your destination. Dear home. See? I want to just say this before I go. Remember, I was telling you about that believing is a product of understanding, right? So the seed must be in your heart. You get that from somebody who's in a body that brings the doctrine of Christ to you. Agreed? Now, let's take this section here. So in this section here, you have two ministries. Every revival produces twins. Now, always remember this. You either go back to Adam as a source, or you go back to Abraham as a source, or you go to Jesus as a source. Those three, you never go wrong. Adam is the source of humanity. Abraham is the source of the sons of God. And Christ is the fulfillment of Abraham. See, and Adam and Abraham, he becomes that new creation. Right? So now, in Christ, when Christ's ministry came,
Judas' ministry came too. So they were twins. Brahman said they were twins. Their ministry were twins. They both started off with the same message. I can't hear you. Like William Branham, he typed the Son of Man. Is that right? But with William Branham accompanies Jesus' ministry. And Jesus' ministry had two groups of people that were not bride. The first group was the 70. They were the Pentecostal. They were with him with the miracles. But when it came with the word, they left. But Judas stayed. He stayed all the way, but he did not get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You get it? Now, this side is already gone. It's this side is the twins. Because Judas stayed to the finish of Jesus' ministry, and it did not bring him to a birth. Never did. He never went up to the upper room to get the birth. Why? He fell away before it. So there are two ministries. One ministry that will enter with the baptism of the Holy Ghost experience, and they are, that's the ministry of Christ. And the next ministry, or the next spirit that comes back in the same message, is the spirit of Judas. They stay the duration of the ministry or the message, but they do not get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they will betray the bride. And because of them, persecution comes. Now, if you see that, this page here of your birth, you women know there is no birth without pain. There is no birth without suffering. There is no birth without groaning, travailing. Is that right? Now let me tell you this. You cannot be born again and be a son unless you have met someone who is the body of Christ. And if you meet someone who is the body of Christ while you're in a message church, that person is going to be odd. And he is going to be hated. And he is going to be, they are going to be ashamed of him. If you never met anybody like this, you have never met a member of the body who has life. Because you are here. Let's say you are in somebody other church. So then, just take today. He's an oddball. They're ashamed of him. But he is carrying the word of life. So if you ever got the word of life and you didn't come through somebody like this, you say, how do you know? This is how Timothy got it from Paul. Paul was an oddball to them. Is that right? They despised him. Amen. They were ashamed of him. But yet he had the word of life. So the first thing for you to be born again, check and see the man that you got life from. How does he stand with the rest of the message churches? Second, you want to check is he well received? Does he have a lot of doors open? And watch carefully, does he have a lot of friends? You can't be an oddball and have plenty of friends, friend. You can't be one in a million and everybody be like you. If you want to check your birth, I'm telling you. Now the next stage, there is fruit. The fruits of your birth is twofold. The first fruit of your birth, is it gives you the ability to understand. All of a sudden, the message makes sense. From the time you see Godhead, you say, wow, Son of Man makes sense. Or the appearing and coming makes sense. Oh, this makes sense. Oh, this trip. What happened? The Bible is becoming a new book, and the message looks different to you. Right? So then what does that bring? The guy who is one in a million now makes you one in a million. You who are once well received and looked at, once you believe what he believed, you become an oddball. Once they reject you and hate you, and now they make you ashamed. They are ashamed of you. Everything he is, you become. Because if he's a member of the body, they treat him that way. What about you? So then, if you are born again, the born again with the doctrine of Christ, watch carefully. Then they'll treat you like Christ. Let's go to Matthew 5. Now, I'm trying to get you sealed away with this because I'm trying to get here, but I don't want to jump around. Matthew 5. If this is not your life, well then, you know, get another section of the Bible and try to find yourself. Blessed are they which are persecuted for what? Now righteousness' sake is not helping an old lady over the road and they persecute you. Righteousness' sake is not helping the poor and somebody upset with you. Righteousness has to do with your revelation. You see, Abel was persecuted and killed for righteousness because his work was righteous. Because his revelation was right. So if your revelation of the doctrine of Christ does not bring persecution, you ain't born again. I hear what the scripture said. Blessed are you. In other words, while you're going through it, you don't know what's happening. But once you come to the reality, these are the stages of my growth. Then you say, oh, blessed. There's a blessing. Amen. Watch now. For this is the kingdom of heaven. Now, is your revelation right? Is your revelation of the doctrine of Christ right? Now, I tell you what. Some of people say, well, you know, those are good people. If you present it right, and if you teach them the right way, if you be kind to them. Now, I've got some money in my pocket. I want you to go to Royal Nesta Odani in the nicest way, carry all the posts, and show it to them. Because most of you, after you saw it, said, but that's so simple. But that's so simple. Why don't you go? And if you get through and convert any one of them, I'll give you what's in my pocket. How many want to go? Anybody? Take the challenge. It's so simple. I know you wasn't going to go. That's why I don't have anything in my pocket. What's the next one? Blessed are you when you are reviled and persecuted. And they shall say all manner of evil against you. Falsely, you believe in two gods. I can't hear you. Isn't that what they say? You believe in two lords and two gods and you believe a lot of strange things. What else? Three Jesus. Ministry beyond the grave. Oh my goodness. You believe nobody got the Holy Ghost, the source himself. But they love to lie on you. Kill your influence. Then it says you are blessed. And say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Not for crossing the woman across the street. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted a prophet which will be for you. Amen. If you're born again and you don't have these characteristics, you're not born again. If you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you're not born again. You gotta know that you are bride. And you gotta see yourself coming through the word, experiencing the word. Then when you come to such a place, I am a son of God. Then God says, you're ready. Now, so you're being persecuted. Once you come to the doctrine of Christ, you meet a member of the body. You come to the doctrine of Christ. You change your nature and you have a change of family. You are the family of God. You're born of the same Spirit. Now, can you take communion with them?
No.
Is that the body of Christ?
No.
Do they believe in your Father?
No.
Do they believe in your God?
No.
Oh, well then, there's a different family of God. You change families. You change nature. Is that right? And look who you're associated with. That member of the body that's... It's telling you whether you have the experience or not. You say, Brother Tony, I'm only here because, you know, I live close. That doesn't qualify. Are you okay? Alright. Now, let's go to Luke 6. I want to show you. Luke 6, 22. Blessed are you when men shall hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company. Oh, brother, when last they've been invited you? When last you got to step up on the podium with them?
Many years.
And shall reproach you and cast your name as evil. That's a true God man. That's Antichrist. You see, if you don't see yourself in the Word, if you haven't come to the Word order, have a Word experience, you are not the Word. You're only claiming we are bride, like they claim they are bride. Who persecutes them? They're only persecutors when America says we're not sending no more money. Then they feel persecuted. And cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Watch carefully. Rejoice! E that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. So next time they speak evil of you, or you hear they speak evil, call them up. Say, brother, do you think you can speak a little bit more evil? Because they say, great will be my reward in heaven. Please, can you say bad things about me? Good. Can you tell a greater lie on me, please? No, even if you didn't do it. So I could get a blessing. I want a reward. You see, He will make all things beautiful in His own time. When we are going through it, He never revealed it like this. But after you come through it, then He makes it beautiful. And now you say, why am I so stupid? I was saying, why are they lying on me? Why are they doing this? You should stop saying those things. I don't believe that. Because if we knew better, we'd say, keep on doing it. No. If you believe that, tell everybody. Because you see, you want your reward great. Amen? All right, now. Okay, so you've seen what you must come through. Why must you come through this? Why must you come through the persecution for your faith, like Abel, like Jesus? Why must you? Because the Word, if you have become the Word, or that part of the Word, you are Christ, and Christ is never received. He's always rejected. The world don't want truth. The world wants religion. You want that living element. And they have to treat you the way they treat Christ. All right. Now, what does that mean? That means that you have to go through Matthew 13:19. I know I'm not going to finish it. I will try to get through the next section. Brother, am I back at your place before I go home? Am I back in any? No. We're all gone. This is the last one, okay. These people stop at that and think. Okay, so you want... Or do you want to take a break and then come back? Who can stay and stay until come back?
Because when you go to Indian, our flight is at the other market. So this will be your last
time. Okay, so do you want to feed them and then take an hour and then come back, or just finish it?
Just finish it.
Okay. And okay, all right. Now hear this. He said, "Here, there, a parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not." So now, if you hear God here and you understand it not, this is what happened to some of the ones that are were with you. Some of the ones that were with you. When a brother Sermon first started talking about God here and proving it and showing you these things, they hear it and they might stay for a little while, but you see, they don't really understand it. So anyone that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. The wicked one comes in the form of somebody else in a message. "Hey, where do you fellowship?" "Well, I fellowship at Vernon, I fellowship at Royal, I fellowship." But you know, we don't believe that. You know what the quote here? God, Jesus is God, very God. You can't separate God and Christ as person. And then you get their heart frightened because, you see, they don't really understand the material. So then their heart gets frightened. Guess what they do? They follow the evil one. "And catcheth away that which was sown in their heart, which is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside." You know, some people who are around you on the wayside. Then the next. "But he that receiveth the seed in a stony place is the same as he that heareth the word, and for a season with great receiveth, with a season with great, with joy receiveth it." Oh, brother, that God had messages. Hey, that's a wonderful, that's a great truth. Amen. That's so Jesus in Jesus. Man, I never saw that. They're excited. But guess what? "Yet he had not rooted himself, but endured for a little while with you all. For but when tribulation, persecution come," when Mr. Big Name says, "Well, he's not in the meetings. He's a true God man. He's with that Indian guy." When the persecution comes for the revelation, for the message, guess what? They're gone. Because you see, they were not saved. They were not elect. "For when persecution comes, they call you name. Nobody does fellowship. They call you true God people. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word," not because they live bad, but because of what? The word. "By and by he is offended. He also receiveth seed among the thorns, the seed that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." So they are them who believed Godhead among you, but they can't grow. Because they're never in church, they're always in their business, and they're always in their family time. So it is not their first love. "But he that receiveth seed in the good ground, is he that heareth the word," and guess what? They what? And remember, that word there is the word of truth, the gospel yourself that gives you birth. So nobody is birthed again except the good ground. And how do you know that? Because it says they understand it. They understand it. Okay. "Which," and understanded it, "and which also bear fruit and bring forth." Now the fruit, believe it or not, is this. This is your fruit here. And this is the garner here. To take it away. All right. So you're going through the stages of your birth. Then you have to go through the rejection, the persecution. You see, for life must come to the member of the body. You see, they are ashamed of you. You must lay in the presence of the fivefold ministry. All right. Okay, now, under the seventh seal, there are many different anointings, terms and corners.
Brother Branham called us a change in the music sheet. Every turn means we've entered a different stage in sequence. There must be a different anointing, power, or powers in and under the seventh seal message. These anointing powers are poured out upon the elected bride at different stages or junctions of growth. True pastors and ministers will have to be under the different anointings, so as to bring the bride through the different stages and sequence of growth. Or they will be preaching the same things over and over again. They will be building a wall and not a building. There is an anointing to gather the bride. There is an anointing to produce the bride's revival, which is from the 700s. The anointing to transform by the renewing of our minds. Our attitudes are changed and have the mind of Christ. There's the anointing to ripen, mature. There's the anointing to quicken our mortal bodies. See, there are different anointings, anointing different parts of the word to produce different results. Alright? So this is the prophet here telling you about some of the stages. In the message Shalom, he said the rhythm is God. God is the word. The word is God. God's rhythm is obeying his word. Then when you obey the word, he beats the rhythm right to you. Then you take your place. So one rhythm of the word is for your birth. You take your place in the family of God. Alright? Then he goes on. When it goes down, then whenever it goes down, 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 then up, whatever it is, you know those junctions. Well, do you know them now? Do you know those junctions now? You see, sometimes you say, oh, headaches and trials. Oh, you see, it's in the word. You have to go through that, but there's a purpose. See, didn't God say all things work together for the good for them that love him while I'm beating out my symphony? And you find out then that you're afflicted and struck down and persecuted and made fun of. That's after your birth that happens to you. The trying of your faith. To see a persecution, amen, and making fun of you and scoffing at you to see if you will fall away. Then when you're standing alone and there's nobody there, you have to wonder, Lord, but there's nobody with us. Are we the only one right? All those things you have to go through to see if that something in you will hold you. And if you come through it, it was him holding you. Because you couldn't hold on, because every day you're bombarded with things that are more powerful than you. Remember, that's the path that goes that way. Remember, that's the path that, so there's a path that goes to persecution. There's a path that puts it in your heart. There's a path, you see, there are different sections. You see, he says, if it isn't like that, then the sympathy is out of tune. The great composer knows exactly what's in it. He knows. He knows you from the beginning. He put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life before a foundational word. Do you believe that? He knows what you are supposed to do. No matter how low it goes, or how dark it looks, it's got to be that way. Now, I think you've come through some very dark times. I know Brother Serna has come through some very dark, lonely, rejected, depressed, stand-alone time. And my talk with him always is this. There's a season of your life. You have to go through that as a ministry. But when the sun comes out, you see, the rain don't always fall and always stay falling. The sun don't always shine, but it shines. You see? And it does not stay like it forever. And it's the same way with your life. Hear what he says. He says, stay in the God's word, no matter how hard it is. Stay right with it. Remember, God is beating. Sometimes he causes trouble to break the bands, to set you free. He does that. You say, well, I don't know what I'll do. He does. What difference? You're just playing the part. He is the one that's got you in his hands. He directs you. Notice, this is my note now. For the believer, he must be taught that the different stages of between birth and adoption, what to expect. Birth, doctrine of Christ brought by someone, the other are ashamed of him, or like Paul. If the person bringing life to you doesn't fit Paul's lifestyle or doesn't fit the scriptures Jesus spoke of, I doubt that guy brought life to you. What you have to ask him, what were you persecuted for? What doctrine? What were you carrying? Oh Lord, he was well received. Oh, well then you know what to do. You see? Now, again, the trying of your faith, you must be hated, rejected, persecuted because of your revelation and the doctrine of Christ, suffering for Christ, bearing the reproach, and I gave you the scripture. Then having the mind of Christ, the hope of your calling. Now, we're in a different section now. So now we have come here, we have finished here, you pretty much know what to expect. Now we are here. Because this section here, that all is in God's hands. He gave the gift. He has the water of life. He has to bring you to it. But certain can't go looking. Yeah, so God has to do his part here. Right? Now we are here. Now this part here has nothing to do with nature change. And this part here has nothing to do with you being persecuted for your revelation. This is trouble, tribulation, persecution that comes not for your faith. This comes to shape your character. Most of the troubles you get for your for your birth comes from your so-called religious brothers. But here, it comes from your enemies. Normal, everyday enemies. You catch what I'm saying? Two kinds of suffering. One is suffering for your faith. The next one is to suffer for your character. Alright? Now, I'm just going to give you a piece of it, okay? Now, character. He said it's not a gift. It's a victory. How is character formed? By suffering. Character is formed by suffering. Suffering involves what? Pain? What else? If you're suffering, you have pain, you have what? Anxiety, you have? Yeah? Okay. And what are some of the ways that you suffer? You suffer through betrayals, people stealing from you, people lying, people taking advantage of you. Is that right? Many disrespecting you, rejecting you. Not talking for religious reason, but you know. There are many ways that you suffer, right? Now, watch carefully. Suffering produces character. So I'm breaking it down quick just to show you how that works. Now, in Isaiah 45 and 7, Isaiah 45 and 7, it's all the hard work I am doing. I've got to find the scriptures on my own. I want you to watch this scripture. Can I take a sip of this? It says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Did the Lord say, I create evil? Now in that word evil, in the Hebrew, is the word ra. The word evil does not equal sin. God did not create sin. But God did create evil in the sense that God placed, He placed a consequence for breaking his word, or penalty. Evil exists in three forms. The first form is moral evil. Moral, human beings, moral evil. You don't have to be a Christian. In you is built in a moral code, not to lie, not to kill. You don't even need the word of God to know that it's built into you. That's called moral evil. Second, there is physical evil. Physical evil comes by tornadoes, storms, hurricanes, tsunamis, plagues, you name it, that's physical evil. And the third evil is religious evil. God said, I create evil. The word evil, I wonder if I can get it here for you. Let's see. Go here. King James. And the word evil. It means I create calamity, adversity, affliction, displeasure, distress. I create harm and grief and hurt and mischief and noisome and sore and trouble and vex and vexness and wretchedness and wow. In other words, if I don't create, you know, the instrument and permit the instrument to cause suffering, you cannot be perfected. I can't hear you. Is that right? Do you want perfection? Do you want the character of Christ? Do you want suffering? Do you want evil? Then evil must be necessary. In the eyes of God, it is necessary evil. Until you change your idea about evil, amen, you will never be transformed. You'll always murmur, complain. You're not in the spirit to be transformed. Oh, just bear with me a minute. I got to develop. I'm stopping from reading because it's taking too long. I believe if I can just express it to you, then Brother Sunan and Brother Boni will fill it in. Okay? Watch carefully. Now, is suffering very important?
Yes.
It's important. Okay. Brother Boni, when last did you cause suffering to yourself? When last did you lie on yourself? When last did you slap yourself? When last you disrespected yourself? God knows that you are not going to cause yourself to suffer. You protect self. Is that right? So God had to produce enemies. It is your enemies that cause suffering. So your enemies are more important than your friends. Because your friends don't cause suffering, so they can't contribute to your character. How important is your enemies? Very important. Now, how important was Hitler? Was he important? It was not for Hitler, was the fig tree put forth its bud? Would Israel go back to their homeland? I can't hear you. Was Hitler important? Oh, yeah. How important was Pharaoh? Without Pharaoh, without his evilness, without putting a slavery and workload, they would have never cried unto God, and God couldn't say, I've heard the cry of my people and I've come down. Yeah. Was Pharaoh important? Yeah. Was he a necessary evil? Yeah. Wow. Now, knowing this here will do no good to you. Cannot give you birth. So if you are not born again, and I'm preaching this, and people are hearing me preach this who are not born again, they say, oh yeah, that makes sense, but you will never do anything for them. You have to come in the right stage, with the right anointing. God said, I create evil. So every time suffering comes, and the person who brings that suffering, every time you murmur, complain, every time you say, why did you do that? And why did you hurt me? And why did you lie? Somebody should ask you, but why are you going to church in one character? Every time you murmur about your enemy hurting you, and doing you wrong and causing you suffering and pain and loss, you are complaining about God's plan for you. You cannot have an Enoch walk in Satan's Eden, murmuring and complaining. That's not a walk of faith. That's not perfect faith. That's why your enemies are so important. God warns you. Do not take vengeance or revenge on your enemies, because vengeance is mine. Because you are going to kill the people who are going to help you. You are going to kill your enemies, and I put them there to help you. So therefore, you cannot, listen carefully, without your mind being transformed, you could never love your enemy without revelation. It is the power of transforming your thinking. It causes you to love your enemy. Not even the new nature could cause you to love your enemy right. It is your revelation of God that caused you to love and appreciate your enemies. Because they are necessary evil to you. Now watch carefully. Your enemies is chosen for you. Moses did not choose the Pharaoh that he would be enmity with. God said, I raise up Pharaoh for this. It had to be a particular Pharaoh for that Moses. David did not choose Goliath. God chose Goliath. Oh, ain't God good? Amen. The Bible said it was Judas was written in the word, my all fulfill your friend. Amen. He is the one that wounded me. You do not choose your enemy. So anytime you despise your enemy, you're despising God's choice for you. Every time you speak evil of your enemy, you are complaining about the God who gave you that enemy. Every time you wish you lived in peace and have no enemies, and you're trying, you know, like some of you, you don't talk to much people, you don't say much because people can't say you said this, and you don't want to get with everybody because then you might get in trouble, and you're trying to be peaceable, pay your tithing, just come into church, just be here a little bit, then run off. You think you're smart. That is when God is really going to give you your enemies. Because you could live right, yet you still have to have enemies. And you could live bad, you still have to have enemies. Because enemies is not whether you live good or bad. It is designed by God to perfect you. Let us take a journey into the mind of the Lord. Your enemies are chosen and designed for you. Every circumstance you go through is designed by God for you. Every trial, every testing, every failure, everything that happens in your life is positive. Because faith is never negative. And God has faith in His plan for you. So God's plan is positive. So when God gives you a test, it's positive. When you fail it, it's still positive. It's never negative because He knows why He gives you a test and why He expects you to fail. And what will come about from the failing. Because you can whip a child. Is that right? One who sits in the street, in the middle of the street, you bring him, you whip him, and the child is crying, Daddy, I failed you, Daddy, I failed you. But in the heart of the child, he's saying, I'm never going to sit here again. The child didn't fail. The child had victory because he had a change of mind. But it felt like it was defeat. Every time you learn, every time you have an experience that you grow, every time you gain some wisdom from any failure, that's victory, that's positive. That's never negative, but it doesn't feel that way. So the wisdom of God is in 1 Peter 5 and 13. Oh, is it 14? Sorry, 1 Peter 5 and 10. But the God of all grace, who had called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have what? Make you what? Establish, strengthen, and what? So first we learn, is evil necessary? It is necessary. What about enemies? Important? How hard is it to love your enemy? How hard? Can you hate them that are helping you? Can you hate them that are sent to perfect you? You see, the way up with man is down with God. And the way down with God is up with man. Right? So when they think loving your enemy is a trying on, I'm going to love them because, you know, that never work. It has to be revealed to you how important they are and how they are God's instrument to perfect you and to help you. And then you don't wish them evil. How can you wish them evil when they are there for your good? How can you take vengeance when they are there for your good? So let's give you an example. So now you are like Joseph. God gave you a vision. Son, you are my elect. You are my chosen. One of these days you're going to be a king and a priest. And you see the vision of it in the message. And you go and you go back and you tell your believing your oneness pastor, you know what? I'm going to be a king and priest. I'm a son of God. That's what Joseph saw in the vision. Is that right? And then God raised up his brothers to be jealous of him. I can't hear you. Loved of his father. Jealous. The king. The one who was supposed to be. They all bowed to. They went and they betrayed him. Who did it? His own brethren. Because nobody could hurt you more than your wife, your husband, and your children. And guess who God likes to use? Job's wife. Abraham's wife. Adam's wife. Is that right? Amen. Amen. It's your children. And your wife and your husband is who he uses to try you in the word and to cause you suffering. Amen. That's why the Bible said your enemies will be from your own household. Amen. I cannot hear you. Amen. But we expect, oh, they should be loyal to me. They should never try to hurt me. When they hurt you, it's still God using them to cause suffering. To let you know there is no one who will not hurt you but Christ. God is the only one. And if he allows them to be instruments, then he really cares about you. Why don't you curse God and die? What's Joseph? I want to just run a couple of pieces because I'll probably just have to give you some scriptures for this. What's Joseph? Joseph now is sold. And first of all, he goes into the prison house. Now watch, he's stripped of his clothing. Is that right? He's stripped of his father's robe by his brethren. Put on slavery clothes to be sold, right? Amen. Well, that's the first change of clothes. Even though you're a son, he takes off all the privilege that would have made you a son, and he makes you a servant. Is it following the scripture? All the privilege of son. Though you be a son, you differ nothing from a servant. You put on servant clothes, you do servant things. So what did God do? You want to be a king? First, he put them to be a servant. Soul as a servant. And place them under a household. Place them to manage a household. Just like he placed you to be a husband or a wife. A husband over his wife to be faithful. And now he wants to know, is that wife or that husband or that church or that pastor, if anybody could seduce him. To take him to be unfaithful to God. Would the pastor, amen, take the church and sow his own ideas and seed? Would a man treat his wife outside of where Christ would treat the church? Would he take the church? You see the different trials and testing of his character. I want to say this. The first test of Joseph being in the prison house, to be in Potiphar's house, was to test him as a husband. How a husband is tested with women. How a husband is tested with the finances of the household. Because he's under God. When Joseph moved from being in Potiphar's house, he went to the prison house. I want you to notice. He changed his clothes to prison clothes. And he represents a wife. When a wife is placed in a marriage with a husband, that's your prison house. You have to obey the rules of the prison. He dresses you. He feeds you. He clothes you. He gives you chores to do. And you can't go anywhere without his permission. I can't hear you. You have to come through, just like Joseph and Potiphar's house, has to be a faithful type of a husband. Then the wife has to be faithful in the prison house. Because you have no right but what your husband has given you. You have no privilege but what he gives you. He dresses you. Is that right? Your clothes come from him. Your food come from him. Is that right? Everything comes from him. You can't say, well, you know, I want to go hang out with the girls. No. You understand the development. But in the end of the story, I want to ask you. He changed clothes again. After you come through the servant and the slave. From a servant, he was a son to be king. Changed his clothes. Became nothing more than a servant. Went in the prison house. Is that right? From the prisoner of Pharaoh to a prisoner of Christ. Then from the prison house, now he changes his clothes again and puts on royal robe, and now he is in Pharaoh's house. You see, God bringing you to the different stages. Every one of those stages fills up these sections. Now my point, I can only close here. I can't go any further, it'll be too long. This is what I want to say. In the end of it, Joseph turned to his brethren. He said, you meant it for evil. Can I hear you? God meant it for good. I want to ask you, was Joseph's brothers working on the best interest of Joseph? Did they know that? Yeah, your enemies don't know that, but God knows that. And as long as your thinking begins to change, and as you begin to see that people in your life is designed to fail you, to betray you, all of that is necessary to develop your character. Everything. There's no suffering that is without a need. There's no enemy without a want. I'm closing with this. Watch carefully. You are a star. You are a star, and every day you are playing a part in a movie. You cannot be a leading man. You cannot be the star of your movie unless you have a villain. You need a good story needs a villain. A villain. Is that right? Because what good is it to have a David Because David is nobody without Goliath. It's true, Goliath, he became, amen, a victorious leader, star. Is that right? Without Goliath, he'll be nothing. Without Joseph's brothers, he'll never be Pharaoh ruling the world. Is that right? Without Judas betraying Christ, we will never be redeemed. Without Pharaoh, Moses will never show the power of God. I can't hear you. Amen. To be a star in your movie, you need good villains. I need Beckett. I need Nestor. I need Royal. I don't want a weakling of an enemy. I want a strong enemy. I don't want to tussle with the little guy. If I want victory, I want the biggest guy in the room. God chooses your enemy to show you that you are a hero. You are going to be the hero of your story. Amen? And as long as you see yourself reading the script, you have a script to play out. And keep practicing the script until the script allows you to play gentleness, kindness, loving your enemies. You see, you might fail in the script, and the producer says, do it over again. Take another thing. Take 25. Take, right? Amen. As long as you can see that your life has purpose, and the whole thing is about you. Your life story. Your journey from birth to adoption. As long as you can see yourself in the Word, see your enemies in the Word, see your victory in the Word, see the purpose of God for you. Then, brother, once we get this out of our mind concerning necessary evil, close it with this. He said, Brother Tony, what is the key to maturity and ripening? This is the key. You want to hear it? The key is this. When you become so afraid of yourself, when you become so distrusting of yourself, when you become so afraid of your choices, what's the key word? When you become afraid of your free moral agency. That's your key. You see, there could be no sin if God did not give choice. There could be no sin in the animal kingdom because God don't give them choice. Nature tells them when to go to the female. Nature tells them that the buck is the head. Nature tells them the hens must follow the roost. Nature tells them Hong Kong, that's the leader for the geese. Nature, they have no choice. So nature is not obedient. Because to be obedient is to obedient to a commandment. And they don't have obedience. They only have program instructions. We are the only one to prove obedience. So there could be no sin. If God did not put Lucifer on free moral agency, there would be no sin. If God didn't put Adam and Eve on free moral agency, there would be no sin. Is that right? So if you want no sin, don't make no choice. Say, not my will, thy will. Amen. Don't want no choice about who's your enemy. Whatever he chooses, thy will, Lord. Whatever situation happens, that's your will, Lord. Amen. In other words, the key is to give up your free moral agency. Because if you give up your will, it means you're looking to thy will. Is that right? And if it's thy will, then there is no choice. Therefore, there's no permissive will. There is therefore, when God realizes, when you realize it, that it's your choice that causes the trouble. I know some of you say, boy, you should have told me that before I got married. Right? Free moral agency is what you must be afraid of. It is what caused Eve to fail. It's what caused Lucifer to fall. It's what caused sin to enter into the garden. and free moral agency, God cannot take it away from you. Because if He takes it away from you, you cannot be obedient. You cannot be loyal. You cannot be faithful. Because free will has to be surrendered to say thy will, which brings you into obedience and submission. You see? And therefore, your life are bought with a price at your birth. Therefore, Lord, it's not my will, thy will. If it's your will for this suffering, I will not murmur and complain. If this is an enemy that rose up for no good reason, anytime you start judging, but I did not, that man lied on me, I did not do that. Anytime you start acting like that, you've missed the whole point. He wants to see how you act, even when you're right and they accuse you wrongly. God wants to see how you're going to handle that. Don't argue, don't fuss. When time comes for you to speak, you speak. When the time is finished, you just let it go. But you don't have to prove yourself. Just present your state. Well, I know I've kept you long and you're very hungry. And I'm very tired. In my young days, I would have finished it. But friends, we turn a corner. And the ministries that have been born again, and the people who have been born again, they need to focus on their attitude towards God's pastor. Those pastors need to focus on their attitude towards God's elders and apostles. And this here, with this in the right order, in the right place, then God will start working on this area of your life. And then you say, count it all joy, the fiery trial. Now that makes sense. You say, count it all joy, fiery trial. Yeah, because you know that this is God's design for you. Two things comes out of this that you want. A meek shall inherit the earth. Meekness means to take every situation that caused suffering and pain and confusion and unknown and say to yourself, this cannot be here unless God permit it. Therefore, I will not complain and I will not murmur. Then, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Because they don't give evil for evil. And they don't return evil for evil. They don't react with evil. Why? Because they realize that person is working on their behalf. And they can be peaceable even with their enemies. You get it?
Yes.
Amen. So we are in a good place. We are in a place of the transforming of our mind. And I don't believe we'll have an opportunity to do that, but I'll leave the material. How your character is transformed. It has to do with your thinking. As your thinking changes, your character changes.
Amen.
That just mind that was in Christ, that would mind mean let his thinking, his way of thinking. And his way of thinking was not to fight against Judas. But he said, whatever you got to do, go do it. Because that's in the will of God. You see? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm just going to pray for you before I close. Is that all right, Brother Sterling? Amen. Heavenly Father, we believe that we are in the presence of the celebrities of heaven. We believe that in here are your children who love you. And they love your word, and they love your truth, and they have a great desire to be that which you promised them to be. Let it be according to your word, Father. Be it done unto them according as you have predestinated it. And give us the mind and the heart to never doubt you, but in the midst of suffering and darkness and whatever fears will come to, Lord, hinder our soul, be able to push it away by saying, thy will be done. And Father, to look at every circumstance of evil, whether it be moral evil, physical evil, religious evil, whether it be, Lord, the trying of our very life of friends, families, whatever it might be, give us that understanding how important they are to be used of you to perfect ourselves. Give us never to have, Lord, bitterness. Never to have, Lord, revenge. never to have, Lord, remorse. Because, Lord, it is your plan, and your plan is perfect. I commit your servants, I commit the elders, I commit the helpers, I commit them into your great hands. May you take the rest, Lord, whatever we could not do or say, and anoint their hearts to receive it, is my prayer. For we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Keep you.